The following is a free seminar on family preparedness. It was given by Stephen E. Harris to the City of Warren, Michigan Civilian Emergency Response Team on June 26, 2003. It covers the majority of subjects a family needs to know to help protect themselves in the time of a disaster. This file can be found at www.knowledgepublications.com. That's knowledgepublications.com. And more information on Mr. Harris can be found at www.stevenharris.net. That's StevenHarris.net. This presentation is copyrighted 2003 by knowledgepublications.com. Redistribution and quotation rights may be requested.
Anyways, I want to thank everyone for coming here. This is going to be a pretty fun seminar and a fun class, and we appreciate your enthusiasm. A lot of people said they just wanted to come here to learn. They thought they had something new. Some people came here saying that they had something specific they wanted to find out. And it's very encouraging to see the amount of people who come in here just because they want to learn something. And kind of exploring to see what they can't find out. We have all too little of that happening in today in general. My name is Stephen Harris. I work with the Warren Civilian Emergency Response Team. That's the CERT team for you people who are newbies here. We are going to try to recruit you. I also work for Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. That is a civil defense and health organization that is concerned with the greater health issues of the citizens of the United States and sometimes elsewhere. My background is I went to school for electrical engineering education, and I also have a ham radio license. Some of my background is in the early 90s, before I used to develop strategic simulations, like combat simulators and fun stuff. I wish I didn't get out of that field. And all through the 90s, I worked in the scientific laboratories of Chrysler and Daimler Chrysler, and one of my specialties was electrochemistry. Currently, I am a consultant, private consultant in the energy field. I specialize in hydrogen, fuel cells, solar reformation, bioenergy, and you'll see how I intertwine energy and how very important energy is, you know, to our lives. The reason you're here and we can live in a city like this and what kills you is lack of energy. We're here because we have a lot of energy, and what harms you is a lack of energy. Well, we're here because we have a lot of energy, and what will kill you very quickly is what happens because you don't have any energy. If you want more information, you can go to stevenharris.net, StevenHarris.net. Some of the references to some things I will be talking about, you can get in a free book called Nuclear War Survival Skills. I have up at usahomelanddefense.com. We had that name, Homeland Defense, long before 9/11, and it became very, really popular. So we've been very committed to civil defense and protecting people before it became a news event and part of world history.
Is that case sensitive?
No. It's just the cases are there so you can distinguish the difference as you're reading it, so it doesn't look like a jumble of letters. Where's my paper? Okay. Preparedness, okay? I don't call this survivalism. I don't call this kooky stuff. I call this family preparedness. Preparedness is not things you have. It is what you know. It's what you have between your ears. If you got a goofy little light like this, okay, it's got a light on one end, and it's got a strobing beacon, help, help! I'm being repressed, you know, come help me, here's my beacon. This does not keep you safe, okay? Preparedness, what we're going to teach you tonight is not stuff. We're going to teach you principles, things that I can't take away from you. If I give you a class on CPR, you now know how to resuscitate human beings who have cardiac and respiratory failure. If you walk away from this building 5-10 years from now, you still retain that knowledge. You don't need a gizmo, a thing, a stuff with you to save that person's life. That's what we're going to teach you here in the family preparedness class. You don't need stuff like this. If you rely upon your stuff, your things, okay? Your little stoves and cook camps and special knives. And you get someplace and you're without it. You're driving through San Francisco and an earthquake happens and you're on the freeway and everything comes down around you. No power, buildings down, people in panic. And you got all your stuff here in Michigan. What are you going to do? You're going to give up. You're going to die. If you rely upon your stuff and you get caught without your stuff, you feel helpless. And you're going to act helpless. And you're going to become a victim. So what we're going to do is put stuff in your mind. So if you're out in San Francisco and the whole place comes down around you, you're going to know how, where, and what is a resource to you and how to find it, get it, use it for the areas that you're sensitive to, the things that are going to kill you or harm you or other people. So keep that in mind. We're showing some things today, but I'm using things to illustrate principles. They're not hard and fast rules. They're not recipes. They're just methods of accomplishing what you want to do. Another name for this is expedient civil defense. Expedient civil defense is what you have around you. Things around you that you have on you or around you or in your house are resources for different things that you don't even realize. For example, we have a big storm coming today. High winds. Knocks off a tree branch. It comes down like a missile. Puts a hole this big right through your roof. Right through the shingles. You know, right into the bathroom. Shatters the toilet. You're looking up. The rain's coming in. How are you going to stop that leak with what you have in your house? Not a leak.
Yeah, but it'll stop.
If you want, that's the answer I was looking for. Okay? Very, very few people will look at a shower curtain as anything but a shower curtain. It's a large piece of plastic that is waterproof. It is about the largest piece of waterproof plastic you have in your average house unless you got tarps or other things or other bigger pieces of plastic put away.
Thermal draperies.
Fiberglass. That's good thinking. Fiberglass what?
Well, some of the longer curtains have fiberglass lining in them.
It might be water permeable. Okay.
No, thermal.
People who answer questions get a card that you put your name on or initials or some other type of identification mark. We have door prizes. I want you to stay through the whole thing. So at the end of the class, I am going to pick up all the cards and we're going to put them in a hat and draw them. And the person whose name I draw, obviously you ask more questions, you get more cards, the better chance you get to win the door prize. Dumb questions get two cards, okay? But this is what I mean by expedient civil defense. We're going to be talking about this. What is in your house? And how can you use it when you need it? Don't look at a shower curtain as a S-H-O-W-E-R-C-U-R-T-A-I-N. Okay, everything comes down. Five counties, Macomb, Wayne, Oakland, St. Clair, Monroe, no power, 2 weeks. For whatever reason, what are you going to do? For what?
Fire and light. Fire and light.
What's your question?
Give you
three cards for that answer. Candles. No, it's just like, okay, here's, you know, it's more of a rhetorical question. What are you going to do? I mean, you're losing a lot of stuff. Well, five counties. How about five states? Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Pennsylvania. Gone. No power. Do you think it can happen?
Yeah.
I was out in Arizona doing vehicle development work. I think it was 96 or 97. And we had 11 states out. 11 states out. Something happened to the power lines, the cascade failure. 11 states from Washington to Arizona, including New Mexico, out of power. Okay, it's not like you have a thunderstorm we might have today. And you're in Warren. You've got no power. What do you do? Well, you go to the motel or the hotel in Sterling Heights or up in Shelby Township. And you say, oh, okay, we're going to, well, you know, you got 11 states out. You ain't going nowhere. Where are you going to go? You're going to stay home. And what's going to happen to you while you're staying home? What do you, What do you lose? We'll get to that in a minute, but what can cause this? An EMP burst from a nuclear detonation high up in the atmosphere, it can bring down the power grid. It can also eliminate. Most electronics won't work. It's a complex subject, which I won't get into. Here's a more recent one. SARS going rampant. We've had 3 emerging infections in 2 years, plus an anthrax attack. Who can tell me the 3 emerging infections we've had in the last 2 years? The emerging means we've never had these diseases in the continental United States before. Monkeypox. What else?
SARS.
SARS is up there, but you get a card anyway.
West Nile virus.
I think you said West Nile first. Okay, we've had 3 emerging infections in the last 2 years. We've not had this. Normally we get 1 emerging infection every 40 years. We've had 3 in 2. Should tell you, our world's a little bit different today. SARS shut down Asia. You don't realize it because you're not reading Asia news. Okay, there's just people not going to work. Got news for you. If it was 10 times worse, 100 times worse, and there are agents and diseases out there that are 10 and 100 times worse than SARS, they are wildfire what they'll go through a population. Your power grid is going to come down from lack of maintenance or other issues. What if you have people not going to work, you get a thunderstorm like around here. 1 million people out of power. How fast do you think those people are going to want to go out and fix the power lines? So the power can come down for a lot of reasons. Oh, anthrax. We've had an anthrax attack. It was kindergarten. It was nothing. It cost the guy $1.25 to shut down half the postal system for about a month. A study from the government was 200 pounds of anthrax released aerially at an optimum temperature environment with an optimal dispersion unit would kill 2 million people in Washington, D.C. What do you think that's going to do to your infrastructure? You're going to want to stay home. Fear, scared, and power problems. Ice storms can do this and have done it. You want to cripple a city? Shoot 1 driver a day. The guy driving the gas truck, you know, the big trucks?
Oh, yeah.
Shoot him. You're not going to blow the thing up, I guarantee you, okay? This ain't Hollywood. Gas trucks don't go up in big balls of fire from 1 little bullet. Just shoot the driver. How long do you think before the gas stations start running out of gas? Day and a half. You don't have gas. Can you go to the grocery store? Can you go to the bank? Can you go to work? Most of us commute 30 miles a day on average. You're stuck with what you got, and you know food deliveries aren't going to be coming in that quickly either. Let's see. Bring down the power grid. Oh, go out and shoot a bunch of large transformers, wait for the repair crews to come and shoot them. This is what terrorists, you know, have an option to do in this country. If you shoot the repair crews coming to fix something, you take out 20 more large substations, how quickly do you think the repair people are going to want to go out and fix those repair stations? They're going to have rings of police around them before they even go in to begin to fix that stuff. So it's not just big things, nuclear weapons. I mean, 1 man crippled the entire D.C. area and put it into fear for a number of weeks, okay? 1 man, 1 rifle, 1 bullet a day did it. It can happen here as well. So anyways, how long do you think the power will be out, and do you want to bet your life on it? You say, well, I won't be out for 3 days. You want to bet your family on it?
Uh-huh.
Nuclear detonation, it's not the nuke that kills you, it's the lack of infrastructure. You can choose it to any weapon, any natural disaster. It's not the immediate effects. Nuclear weapons really aren't that big, okay? You just don't have one of them and it doesn't kill everyone in Southeast Michigan. They're really pretty small these days in comparison. But it brings down the power grid. It stops the emergency response. It, you know, destroys a lot of roads and infrastructure. And it's the people on the outside where most of us live that are going to be, they're going to suffer from the lack of power. Oh, we have a cute quote in the civil defense industry. You know the nice thing about a nuclear weapon? You know when one's gone off. The biological agent's a silent attack. You don't know what's happened until people start developing the symptoms. But you always know when nuclear detonation's gone off. Bright light, big bang, you can say it's right there, okay? You know to run right there and go help people. You don't know that in a biological. So here's what happens. We're talking about no power. You have no lights, no water, no sewage. Your toilet is not going to work, okay? Even if you did have water, the sewage lines have pumps that pump the sewage up and over hills and back down to the sewage treatment plant. We all don't live uphill of the sewage treatment plant. It all don't flow downhill. You have no traffic lights. You have no refrigeration. You have no radios, no television, no communications, no ATMs, no banks, no Visa cards. How much cash in your pocket? Everyone, open up the wallet real quickly, briefly. Take a look at your purse. Just tell me roughly how much cash you got.
About 18.
18 bucks?
Yeah, 11
dollars. 11 bucks?
$131.53.
You'll probably be the highest here. Okay, she's got the high. What do you got? Huh?
53.
One, you got really got 180? Or you just want a card?
He just got paid.
Oh, he just got paid. What was the average answer? 10, 20, 30?
I have over 200.
Oh, 200? You get a card, okay?
I can live a lot.
How would you like to be standing there going, I need food? And you run to the grocery store, and the cash registers aren't working. They're sitting there with calculators. The ATM, you know, there's no communications, no power lines. This just happened. You're there, and you want to buy a bunch of food. And you got 30 bucks in your pocket, or 20. I mean, if you think I'm going to go off and buy myself a month's worth of food at the last minute when something happens, and you got 20 bucks in your pocket, you're mistaken. Except I'll show you how to buy a month's worth of food for 20 bucks. You got a question?
I beat him.
Wouldn't there be like riots and stuff
because
all the power went out and stuff?
Yeah, there's an old saying. Any city is 3 days away from a riot. I'm going to take back your card for talking.
I'm sorry. No,
I gave you a card already.
You said it the more cards you get.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I work for you. Here, you can have one. Now, okay, you get my point? You got 10, 20, 30 bucks in you. That's all you got to get foods. Some people have 200. You're going to ask them, can I mow your grass? There's a disaster. What else is gone when the power is gone? You got no refineries, no trucks coming in, no deliveries. Everyone wants to go to the grocery store. They're at worse than one-tenth capacity. The registers aren't working. The scanners aren't working. Okay? And they're using the grocery stores do have hand calculators for every station. Okay? So they can check you out manually. They are prepared for this. Okay? It's just they're going to be very efficient. The young man asked him about riots. The police are overwhelmed. You're getting no power. The alarm systems are going off like crazy. Half the signals aren't getting in. And the bad actors in our society are going, hey, you know, we can go in over there. The cops aren't going to know. They're going to show up if they can show up. So you have a criminal element who may take advantage of the situation. But generally what happens is after your children are hungry for 3 days and without water and you're becoming desperate and someone else has food and you don't like them or they're a lawyer, you're going to go take it from them, okay? Because your kids are more important. If I had a bunch of food and you knew where I lived and your kids were hungry, wouldn't you think about coming and trying to get some food for your kids?
Through one tactic or another.
Through one tactic or another, okay? There's some people here who are going to use the other tactic. So, yeah, you know, there is a civil unrest and civil disobedience section that goes along with this. But we're going to talk about keeping you protected from these situations. Hurricane Andrew, perfect example. You don't know what happened during Hurricane Andrew. It became quite lawless down there. And people stood out in front of their house with AK-47s and any other type of weapon. They stood in front of their hubble, their heap, and said, this heap is mine, okay? Don't you come in looking through the stuff. The police actually said during Hurricane Andrew, you know, if you're attacked or, you know, shoot. Shoot the person, put the body up by the street, we'll come pick it up. Okay, it was martial law, it was almost every person for themselves in some situations. That can and does happen in the world. So you're standing there watching TV, or not watching TV, and you're sitting there, and it was me, it was 9:50 a.m. in the morning, and a phone call came in, said, Steve, turn on the TV. And you're sitting there, and you're watching both the towers burning, and one of them collapses down in front of you. And you're going, oh, great. Did they release a biological agent? Are there 30 airplanes coming in? We don't know what's going to happen. And you're sitting there, and you go, I don't have any food, water, what's coming? And you get this wonderful sinking feeling in your legs. You ever have it? Like you're looking over a bridge like this, okay, looking way down, you get this horrible sinking feeling in your legs, you're going, what am I going to do? You don't want that to happen. On 9/11, the first thing I did, I went to the bank, withdrew all my money. The second thing I did is I went to the grain elevator up in Armada, and I bought 1,500 pounds of corn. Now, I have 2 years' worth of food for... I have about a year and a half for two people, okay? A year, easily, nice and comfortable. I went and bought 1,500 pounds of corn. It cost me a grand total of $110. You know why I bought that? Why did I buy... No, it does, and believe me, I had a problem with it going bad. Oh, I had plenty of storage for myself. I had plenty of storage. Why do you think I bought 1,500 pounds of corn?
You like it?
No, actually, I make some of the meanest cornbread in the world, and I don't care to eat it. Because it's easier to feed your neighbors than it is to shoot them.
Okay.
I didn't know what was coming next. I bought it for my neighbors. That's a whole nother class, but I can show you how to do some miracle stuff with corn. It's a wonderful food. 1,500 pounds for $110, how could you get any cheaper?
You need cooking classes.
You need some cooking class. But tell you what, when my neighbors get hungry, they'll sit there and they'll turn the grinder with the corn in it real quickly, okay? We're eating the store deal. I had a friend of mine, they went to Costco, he likes oysters. They bought a bunch of smoked oysters and they put it in their pantry. So, you know, they're eating the smoked oysters and the neighbors are grinding the corn, but I tell you what, they'll be very happy to grind the corn. That's not in this class, though. That's what I did at 9/11. I didn't have that sinking feeling in me. You're vulnerable, okay? Down for whatever reason. Stuff is down, not working. What can kill you? Everything's not working. What's the first thing that can kill you? What are you most vulnerable to? What's the most important thing to have in your supplies?
Water.
Huh?
Food. Medication.
That's one for you. One for you. What have you said? What's the most important? Most people are saying water. Do you think water is the most important thing to have in your supplies?
Air.
Wrong.
Wrong
on water. I took a card away. Wrong. It is not the important thing. Clothing is the most important thing to have. Clothing is your mobile, personal shelter. You're saying water because it's, you know, 90 degrees outside today. What if this class was in December? Weather kills in minutes. Okay? I stopped for a guy on 696 when he had a cold snap. It was 20 below. So let's say it was 5 below. He's walking down 696. He was wearing a lightweight fall jacket, okay? Maybe a little bit heavier, but not a winter jacket. He was walking down 696. He had a mile to go to the exit. You know what? If I didn't stop and pick him up, he would not have made it. He would have been dead. Minus 5 degrees Fahrenheit with 20-mile-per-hour winds. A healthy adult human being, you can be dead in 15 minutes or less. Who said, huh? I have a freezer at home that gets down to minus 80. Why don't I get down to minus 5 and put you in there for a few minutes? You'll understand what I mean. Weather kills in minutes. Without water, you die how quickly?
Within a week.
A week. Let's say 3 to 7 days, depending upon your health condition, your hydration. Some people can die in a day. Generally, it's 3 to 7 days, and the last 2 days are miserable. No water kills in days. How long before you die of food starvation? Weeks. 2 weeks to a month at least. Some of us can go a little longer. Without vitamins and nutrients, you're not gonna have any problems, have lack of nutrients for months to a year, okay? And then it's more problems than it is death. Oh, this is me. I love, one of the things I do is I do, give me one of your cards. This is me. We're snow camping, and this happens to be 15 degrees Fahrenheit, 30-mile-per-hour wind, 12 inches of snow coming down, no tent, okay? We're not in a tent. We got something else we're using. It's a little plastic shelter that we put together that's expedient, okay? And we'll camp outside for days below zero. We're not cold, okay? We're not cold at all. And this is a whole 20-hour class in itself for doing cold weather stuff.
Why are you in the cooler?
I'm going to answer that question. You know what you use a cooler for in the wintertime? You use a cooler in the wintertime to keep food warm. You use a cooler. Okay. It's 0 degrees Fahrenheit, and you have stuff that you don't want to freeze, okay? What might not you want to have freeze?
Water.
It's a yogurt. Okay, it's like, just for the sake of it. It's a yogurt. You don't want your yogurt to freeze. You really like your strawberry yogurt. You get ornery if you don't have it. Water freezes at what temperature? 32 degrees Fahrenheit. If you have something in water, and that water is not solid, meaning ice, it will always be 32 degrees Fahrenheit. In atmospheric conditions, you will not get water. You will not get water turning to ice with crystals floating around in it below 32. So it's what they used to use in root cellars in the old days. They would put barrels of water down in their root cellars in the wintertime, because as long as that barrel of water was freezing, the cellar would not get below 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Water is actually releasing heat when it's freezing. That barrel is releasing heat and keeping the cellar warm until it's completely solid. So in the wintertime, you use a cooler to keep your stuff warm. All you do is dump the ice out that freezes, and you put in more water from a well, and you can keep your stuff from freezing. Well, wait till we go on duty. I'm going to have some choice. I'm going to remember this.
You invited me.
This is a 21-hour course in itself. You don't really, in extreme cold weather, you actually don't layer. The one thing to remember is you want to have as thick of a layer all the way around you, as uniform as possible, that permeates moisture. You put your mouth up to it. If you can breathe through it, that's what you want. If you put your mouth up to it, you can't breathe through it, you're trapping moisture. And that's what moisture control is, the secret to cold weather. Some interesting stuff about cold weather. At 10 degrees Fahrenheit, you need as much water as you do at 100. If it's 10 degrees Fahrenheit, you've got to drink as much as if you're in a 100-degree environment. You need that much water. Hydration is very important in the wintertime. For us CERT people who are out there helping in the wintertime, you got to have water with you in the winter as important as you do today. Okay, hydration, water drives your heat mechanism in your body. If you become deficient on water, your heat mechanism won't be generating. You'll start getting cold. It's a positive feedback reaction. It runs away. So even becoming a little bit hydrated in the wintertime will very quickly can get you dehydrated, can get you into trouble quickly, and you won't know it. So you really want to force water into your body when it's cold. You're outside, it's 20 degrees, working with CERT. Make sure you're drinking water. You will actually be warmer if you're drinking water than if you let yourself get thirsty. Another important thing about clothing, your personal mobile shelter. What about Pat Bozzi? It was 60 degrees outside, and he got hit with 55-degree water. They almost called a real emergency to stop the exercise and come take care of him, because he was, you know, beginning to go into the initial stages of hypothermia at 60. 40 degrees and rainy is almost as bad and as miserable as if you were outside and it was just 10 degrees Fahrenheit. 40 degrees and wet and rain can kill you hypothermically about as quickly as being out in cold water. So remember, the most important thing is clothing, your mobile personal shelter. You've got to have that taken care of before you even begin to think about going on to the next system. This is Dr. Pat Cott. He's a friend of mine. I've done a lot of medical work. Anyone interested in the extreme cold weather system, it's part of Jim Phillips' PAL system. He teaches winter classes professionally. Okay, mobile personal shelter is number one. Then what? The most important thing that everyone said was water. What is water? Water is not only the water itself, it's what you need to hold the water, to disinfect the water, to carry the water, and to consume it. When we say water is number two, we mean all of that, okay? Water is no good unless you've got containers to move it, haul it, purify it. Contaminated water is no good to you. How much water do you need per day?
8 to 10 glasses.
Who said a gallon?
I did.
Did you say a gallon because she did?
Two.
Well, today you do. Today you need 2 gallons. Okay, how much water do you need a day?
8 to 10 glasses.
Oh! A late arriver. The answer is, on average, you need a gallon of water. Now, let's qualify that statement. You need a half a gallon a day to drink at about 70 degrees ambient, and you're not exerting yourself. If you're exerting yourself, you need a lot more. A mentor and dear friend of mine who worked up in Nevada test sites with experiments and stuff told me he would drink 9 gallons of water a day when he was in Nevada in the field working. Okay, one man, 9 gallons, yes.
Why is it so hard to drink a gallon a day?
Because you ain't thirsty. It's about a half a gallon a day. It's about half a gallon a day that you need to consume. The other half, as the screen says, is for hygiene, cooking, food preparation, and a lot more. If you're in a hot environment, you will be drinking water on a very regular basis. I spent quite a bit of time in Death Valley at 120 doing vehicle development work, and you continually have a bottle of water on you, and you're always sucking on that bottle of water throughout the day.
What happens when you have to go to the bathroom?
You hardly ever urinate. In a hot, hot, hot environment, you hardly ever urinate because it all comes out through perspiration too quickly. If you consume 9 gallons of water, it's very unlikely you're going to be urinating that much in the day. It's going to come out through sweat and through the hydration of the body. It's really interesting to be in a hot environment like that. It's really, and to observe it from a third person. I've been in Death Valley, and the birds walk in your shadow. Literally, you have little birds going, tick, 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 hopping along as you move because they want to stay in your shadow. Hot and cold, much more, okay? A gallon's your benchmark. That's what you want to try to have, okay? Most everyone who has personal preparedness supplies does not have enough water. They rely upon their tap. Try to store as much as you can, and we're going to talk about this. Okay, where is the water in your house? If I said to you, and it's the only reason you came, you need to fill up 100 gallons of water. Here's a challenge to you, expedient civil defense. You want to fill 100 gallons of water in 30 minutes in your house, average house. Forget the pool stuff. How are you going to do it?
No bathtub.
Fire hose. Bathtub. Got to check. Wrong! Wrong on the bathtub.
Cooler.
You see why I say wrong? No, I went to Detroit to get this. Okay, I found an abandoned house in Detroit. Okay, wrong. Not in the bathtub. Oh, well, who says their bathtub's clean? And that they'll drink it, right? Okay, you think your bathtub's clean, you got a residue of all this stuff up in there. You start drinking water contaminated with this, wait till the medicine section of the seminar will tell you what's going to happen to you. Okay.
Trash cans.
How are you going to fill up water in your house? Tell me.
Now, has the water been stopped?
No, you're just going to... Something's happening right now, okay?
So
your spider sense is telling you, I better get more water now. You got a half hour, you want 100 gallons. How are you going to do it? Garbage bag. What are some of the available containers?
Beer bottles.
Thanks. Milk cartons have an organic contaminant in them.
Beer bottles.
Your first step. What are you going to do to fill up water in your house? 100 gallons. 100 beer bottles. Well, maybe in your house.
Trust me, 100 plus.
No! How are you going to fill up 100 gallons in your house?
Container.
We got half the answer. We got trash bags. What are you going to do with the trash bags?
Put them in
garbage cans, maybe.
Ice cubes.
Give me a card back. Yes.
Line your bathtub.
Trash bags, unscented, untreated. Some of the trash bags today have treatments on them. Unscented trash bags in boxes, in chests of drawers. In the bathtub? Well, I guess you could put the plastic bag in the bathtub. In trash cans. Oh, right here. The cheapest container in the world. The most space for the least dollar, unless you go to cardboards, okay? Are these things right here, plastic totes, 22 gallons, $4. That's cheaper than a 30-gallon trash can at $8. Then you can put them into here. You got stuff in there, Christmas ornaments? Dump them. Dump the junk out and put the water in there, okay? You can even do it without a trash can.
Well, no,
or the trash bag.
The same as Tupperware.
No. Tupperware are little things you put in your purse, you take the work, you eat macaroni and cheese out of it. Don't say Avon either, okay? Kiddie pool. $15 kiddie pool. 300 gallons of water. What's this important? Not much for us, but I got friends in Tucson. They run out of water. They're dead. They're 50, 60 miles from a lake. They can't leave the valley. It's 100 degrees. You're out of water, you're dead. The wells are 1,000 feet deep. They ain't going to get more water. If there's something happening, they think their power's going to go out. $15 for something you can inflate in 30 seconds with a vacuum cleaner and put 300 gallons of water in is a heck of an emergency storage reservoir of water. Everyone's going to think of swimming pools in Tucson, okay? Everyone's going to be in everyone else's swimming pools, and you, if you want your own personal storage, you got to have something underneath your own control. So kiddie pools work good for that. But for us in Michigan, trash bags and boxes, drawers, bathtub, trash can, what is water in a bathtub good for? Even that bathtub you saw?
Toilet.
If you can flush your toilet, it's good for water for, if you got a bunch of blood and other stuff worse than the bathtub, it's good for washing that off. It's good for, you know, things you would want water that's called non-potable. Yes, young lady. Get what?
How can you get water in the
water? Someone translate, I can't hear.
Water.
Trash bag. Put it in the trash bag, put the bag into the drawers.
How much is the plastic so
strange with
all the water?
Waterways. Who can tell me what water weighs to two digits?
28.
How much does water weigh?
Eight pounds.
To two digits.
8 pounds.
To two digits. That's one digit. How much can, even in metric, who can tell me what water weighs? 1 liter of water is 2.2 kilograms in English units. 1 liter, 1 gallon of water is 8.3 pounds. So 22 times 8.3. You would put it someplace, like in the room, put the trash bag in, and then you'd fill it up and leave it in place. Okay, you wouldn't be.
Most people would have to drag that because it's about the size of a
man. No, you fill it up in place.
Yeah.
You fill it up. You put it. You know, you put it where you want it. You put the hose into the garden hose until you fill it up.
You're not dragging it and putting it somewhere.
Well, bring the water to it, Muhammad. What's the saying? If you can't bring the mountain to Muhammad, bring the Muhammad.
But you wouldn't drag it. Then you put them all in place. You get some sort of hose.
If this thing is full of water, two men can pick this and move it. It actually won't collapse. This is a good one, okay? Two men can pick up this 18-gallon tote and actually slide it and move it. But it's eight, you know, 20 times 8, 160 pounds. This becomes challenged at that weight. But it's a good way of filling up water pretty quickly. Okay, drawers, chest of drawers, normally like a foot high. You pull the drawer out, put a bag into it. You can store 20, 30 gallons in a chest of drawer real easily. I mean, just do what you normally do. Throw your clothes on the bed. Okay, do you understand water and expedient civil defense? This is one thing for you to remember. If something happens and you procrastinate, you don't have any preparedness, you're going to have to do it real quickly. If you're in San Francisco and a big earthquake happens, and, you know, the fire lines are ruptured, you see a bunch of water spurting up in San Francisco or someplace in California where it's even hotter. You know, you're going to be looking for something to hold water. Start thinking about plastics and boxes so you can grab the water before it goes away. This is what I mean by expedient civil defense and by principles. This is what I don't want to leave you when you leave here today. Question?
Why
he just brought up, what if you have a water bed with the conditioner that you put in the water bed?
Yes, it's horrible. But what can you use a water bed water for? That's right. You can use it for that. That's perfectly correct. What? Did you want your card? Yeah, but see, it doesn't matter. He had the idea. You're the one who spoke up. We talked about that in CERT. If you see someone having a problem health-wise or something that your training covers, it could be anything, and you think you're right, you think you can help, you have to step forward and take the initiative and help and treat that person. If you're having a heart attack and I think you're going to break his ribs, you don't know what the heck you're doing, I'm going to remove you and I'm going to give him CPR. Okay? It's my duty to do that because I think I know how to do it better than you. I could be wrong, but nevertheless, fear and the inaction that comes from it is the worst cancer you could ever have. Think about that. So you had the idea, but you didn't voice it to me. She did. Okay, that's why she got the card. If you think you need to do something, it's up to you to do it if you think it's right or you should. Don't wait for me to come up and say, do you know how CPR? Go help them. Question.
I have a little pool in the backyard, and if you keep it too long, the water, you got to put chlorine in it. And how long will this water in these buckets stay?
I will cover that question in a bit, but let's cover it right now. Here we go. It's better here than contacts. I got water in bottles here. These are, they're not. Don't read everything that my girlfriend did said the same thing, and she believed every sign that happened. I said, I was going to put a sign on the front door, you know. So anyways, these are empty soda bottles that I rinsed out with tap water and filled with tap water, and I capped and put away. These soda bottles happen to be 3 liters. They're 99 cents a piece. They're at Kroger's. They're my choice for cheap cola, and they're also my choice for a water bottle. These are made out of what's called PET, polyethylene terephthalate. That's what soda bottles are. They don't degrade. They'll stay good forever. The bottle, a milk carton will degrade naturally over a period of 6 to 18 months. You put water in milk cartons, even if you wash it out really good, you'll start getting leaks. I have done it. Okay, everything I'm showing you here, I have done. I'm not telling you what someone else said. I'm not telling you what it was in the book. Everything I'm showing you, I've done. These store for decades. Milk cartons don't. This is the easiest way for you to store water in your house in the event of emergency. A lot of people consume soda and juice. Rinse the bottles out and put water into them and store them.
You store them right on the concrete. You should
anywhere.
Store them up.
And it doesn't matter.
On concrete, it'll disintegrate a little bit faster.
No.
It happened to me.
Generally, no. It shouldn't. I can't think of anything that plastic's so unreactive. I can't think of anything within the calcium chemistry of concrete that would force deteriorate it any quicker. I can tell you the formula for the plastic and for the concrete. I can't think of off the top of my head what would do it. I could be wrong, but I can't think of anything that would.
Am I looking at an inch of water in that photograph?
You're looking at a 3-liter bottle that's 14 inches tall, and it's filled.
No, at the very bottom.
It's a reflection of the water.
It's a reflection.
Okay.
Yeah, my basement's a swimming pool.
Well, I figured it might maybe have something to do with you throwing them outside
no.
in the winter, and if you,
no.
you had them in a vat and you were changing
no.
the water. So they
no, this is in my basement, okay?
Okay.
Now, the question is, this is just tap water. Should I put anything in there?
No.
It's a city tap water.
No.
Do I need to put bleach in there or anything?
It's already
that's right. There's more than enough in there that it's just fine. What's your question, young lady?
Why doesn't it
like the milk? It's a different chemical formulation of the plastic. We make so many milk cartons that we want them to deteriorate in a landfill. The milk cartons aren't underneath pressure. You take one of these bottles of soda with carbon dioxide in them and you shake them up, it can get up to 150 pounds per square inch. it's got to be a very strong vessel to handle the carbonation. It shook it up in trucks when it's moved, going over potholes and bumpy roads, not that we have those in Michigan. So they got to be very strong bottles. In order for that, the material science, it's called material science, okay? The material science of the plastic has to be much better. It has to be a different formulation. Like metal stronger than wood, this formulation of plastic is superior to the plastic used in milk cartons. That's a good question. Does the water go bad? Good question. That's where we're getting to. Do I have to change? How often do I have to open up every one of these bottles and pour the water out and refill them? How often do I have to do that?
Every year.
Yeah, that's right. When you want to drink. Well, how often do I have to change the water? I have, you know, let's say I got 500 bottles stored. How often do I have to do this all this labor?
No.
You don't. All water is about 1 billion years old. Okay, think about it. All water is at least as old as the glaciers. Most water can be, you know, that water you're drinking out of the tap, the actual water molecule can be up to 1 billion years old. So you think your water is going to go spoil on you? What happens, what spoils water? You get bacteria. You get something growing in it. If you don't have anything in there to grow, you don't have a growth medium, like milk residue is a growth medium. You don't have any bacteria to begin with in there. You aren't going to get it. Bacteria is not going to go through that plastic. If you don't have anything in there to begin with, you're not going to get anything. If you wish to test me on this, feel free to come over. I'll give you some water dated 1994, and you can drink it.
You're talking city water.
City water. I'm talking city waters. Right. Yeah.
You're not going to go out and take spring water.
No, I'm not going to take spring water. What's your question?
What if you don't have a basement? Can you store that in your attic?
Attic is a good place for storing water. Up on above the walls that are supporting walls, you can put boxes of water very easily. No problem. Now, you don't want to drink water that's more than 103 degrees Fahrenheit because it doesn't have a hydration effect on you. You can't keep cool by drinking water more than 103 degrees Fahrenheit.
Just to store this in Fahrenheit.
Fine. It's wonderful. It's perfect. Yes, anywhere you can put it. You can put it, if you take these bottles, you put a piece of wood between them, and you start stacking them up, you can stack up a tremendous amount of water in a closet, okay? Or anywhere you want. You can even make it decorative, I guess. Do you think I bought all these cases of Evian?
No.
I had a girlfriend, and she loved Evian. She carried a 1.5 liter bottle around with her everywhere she went. I called it her baby. Come on, honey, you know, do we have to take the baby to the movies? She carried it with her everywhere. Needless to say, I had her save all her bottles for me, and I picked them up, and I accumulated these over about a period of 2 years.
One is upside down.
Because I had too much alcohol to drink the night previous. What's your question?
I can't.
The young lady asked, why don't you want to drink water more than 103 degrees Fahrenheit? Okay, because it won't high. What's your body temperature?
98.6.
So if you're trying to stay cool, you think you can stay cool if you're pouring a source of heat into you? No, and even then, it wants to evaporate to your skin and it cools you, but the thing is, you're taking in too much heat at 103. The good news is it's not hard to cool water down. So anyways, here we go. Here's a bunch of boxes of water. Didn't cost me anything. I got 18 boxes times 12 times 1.5 liters. Just stored and put away. It'll be good there forever. This is just one thing I did. You can deal with anything. If juice bottles, okay? What you are more than welcome to come. And that's one of the things you need to do, is you don't keep this stuff to yourself. If you do a preparedness and someone asks you about it, you show it to them. You encourage them. Well, I'm going to come over to your place. You're more than welcome. I would love to have your resources and your talents at my place. Even if you're just a strong back, I'd love to have you come over. However, I would be much more comfortable if I helped you with some of this preparedness stuff and you had some stuff at your house such that you were more prepared personally, and then we could augment and complement each other rather than just have you come over and utilize my stuff. But you're more than happy. Come over. You might be turning the grain mill with the corn, but I guarantee you, tell you one thing, if you're on a corn diet, store toilet paper. Let's see, how long has it been? It's 7:30. We started at 6:30. Been here an hour. Oh, 55-gallon drums. If you want them, you can get them at a place called Maxi Container in 6 Mile in Detroit. Great company. You want the blue food grade drums, HDPE, high density polyethylene. 55-gallon drums, a little hard to move around, but it's nice to have one. Just put a bunch of water into it. Some people prefer this to the bottles and stuff. The thing to remember about 15, these are 15 gallons, this is a 30. You can move a 15 around. You can manhandle a 15-gallon drum around from upstairs and downstairs. It's just another option for you for storing water. If you're going down the street and you see someone threw a dresser drawer out and you want to put plastic bags and use that for your storage, fine. If you're putting pop bottles, fine. But whatever it is, do it. Try it, okay?
You put the trash bags in those gallons?
No, you don't. You don't put. Basically, you don't have to put plastic in plastic. So what is water? And water is water. It's the stuff to carry and prepare water. We're going to cover purification real quickly. What are the only two methods to completely disinfect water of all bacteria, viruses, spores?
Boiling
is one of the two ways. What's the other way? You said iodine. You are exactly correct on iodine, and everyone is incorrect on bleach. Bleach will not get the spores. It is hard to kill the spores. What's a spore? It's a hard shell that forms around the bacteria to protect it. Anthrax is a spore. You use a sporicide to kill it. A sporicide is iodine. What type of iodine? That's a better question. Little iodine tablets you buy at the camping store?
No.
They will not. The little iodine tablets you buy at the camping store that you put in the water.
The ones that you buy at Walmart in Mexico.
Is it crystalline? Do you open it? Smells like iodine. You see the crystals in there?
I don't know what it says. Just make sure you don't get dysentery.
No, probably not. What you want to do, complete disinfection is only done with boiling outside of laboratory, okay? In advanced reverse osmosis stuff. The only two ways that's available to you is boiling and crystalline iodine treatment. Now, the easiest crystal.
No, there's nothing to boil with. How do you do that?
Oh, lots of ways, but we'll get into that. Actually, you can, if you bring water up to 160 degrees Fahrenheit for 8 minutes, you'll pasteurize it like you pasteurize milk, and it'll kill a lot of stuff. Bringing water up, you don't have to boil it. If you can just get it to 160, if all you had was, you couldn't boil it, but you could just get it warm, okay? If you could bring water up so it's really hot, which is, 160 is actually where it is, and leave it set there for 10 minutes, and that's all you had, you'd be better than if you had nothing, okay? So remember that. The hotter you can get it, the better. Crystalline iodine, the short story, it's the only stuff you are going to be able to get. It's called Polar Pure. You can get it at REI. And why do I say chocolate store? Because in Somerset Mall, there's an outdoor store in Somerset Moor across from the great Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. You can see why I remember that place. So they're the first level across from the great Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory in the main area. They carry Polar Pure. It's $10 to $12 for a little bottle of crystalline iodine. It'll treat 2,000 to 3,000 quarts of water. Okay, iodine is very toxic. It's very potent. It's very concentrated. But it's such a method in this bottle that you can only get small amounts of it into your water. You let it sit and for like 30 minutes to 30 days, however long you want, and it'll kill everything in the water. If you have a shellfish allergy, if you cannot eat crabs and other shellfish and lobster, you cannot use this method for disinfecting your water because you have an iodine allergy. You'd have to run this through like a carbon filter quite a few times to get rid of the iodine before you could drink it. But that would have to cover with you independently if you had that problem. The other thing is, that's the best thing is Polar Pure. You can forget the $200 filters, okay? If you got a Polar Pure and some coffee filters, you're better than if you have a $200 Katadyn filter, I guarantee you. Or even a $600 Katadyn filter. You can get stuff out with an earth filter. That's how the water is filtrated in the ground. Sand, clay, gravel, rock. You can make one out of a 5-gallon pail. It'll take out chemicals. It'll take out everything but the bacteria. You filter it through the earth and you treat it chemically or with heat. And it's called an earth filter. If you go get nuclear war survival skills at that website, usahomelanddefense.com, it'll show you how to do that better than I can take 20 minutes and describe here for you. Question?
Those filters that you get, like for Brita and stuff like that, are they worth anything?
Yes, they're good for taking the iodine out of the water. Okay, drinking iodine water tastes like pool water. Believe me, you'd be happy to drink it if you're sensitive to it. If you didn't want the taste, running it through a Brita filter, an $8 or $20 filter, will remove that taste. So yeah, if you got one around, it's a good tool that you already have in your house. Question.
Yes, what is the ratio between the iodine and the water?
The ratio is approximately 70 degrees Fahrenheit. If you took, see, it comes in a little bottle. It talks about capfuls. I send missionaries around the world, okay? I need them to hydrate themselves. So I talk about cups and gallons. It's one cup of iodine-saturated water. Water can only hold so much iodine, okay? Like, water can only hold so much salt. Iodine, water can only hold a very small amount. Water can only hold a very small amount of iodine. At 70 degrees Fahrenheit, the hotter the water, the more iodine it can hold. Okay, the more you can absorb into it. So, at 70 degrees Fahrenheit, the amount of iodine in one cup of water, saturated, is what you'd use to treat 5 gallons of water. You would want to keep it in there for at least 30 minutes, and it's called residence time. How long is the iodine in contact with the water? I prefer it to be in contact all night, all day, before you drink it. But 30 minutes would be the minimum. Question?
Where is the best place to buy water?
Buy water? Right out of your tap. She asked, what's the best place to buy water? It's right out of your tap at home. Costs about 20 cents per 1,000 gallons. And our mayor is supposed to try to reduce that price, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Question?
Can you store other liquids like juice?
Can you store other liquids like juice? What did I tell you? What's the number one thing that makes water harmful to you? Bacteria and growth, right? What's in juice? You think it's stuff? No, the growth medium for juice. The growth medium for the bacteria. So you don't want to really store juices. What can you store? If you want to add some flavor to your water and stuff, what would be something good to store?
Kool-Aid.
Tea mixed, Kool-Aid powder. Little things just to give. See, like here, this is water with some flavor in it. You will drink more water quickly if there's a little bit of flavor into it, like a squeeze of lemon. You'll drink that subconsciously a lot more than you will just drink unflavored water. It's a trick we use to hydrate people to get them to drink.
Do you
like iced tea? Sure, iced tea is okay. Got caffeine. What's your question?
How long would cases of pop last?
Forever. Sure. What's pop? Generally, it's sugar. It's sterile. It's what it comes with. They can't have people getting sick. No bacteria is going through the can, okay? So it's basically water, it's carbonation, it's sugar or a sugar substitute, some flavorings, and caffeine. So you can store that forever. It's a good question. Really good question. How often do you have to change your water? We covered this. How old is water? No sugars, no organic materials left over. If you got a bunch of soda and it's sugared, you want to wash that out real well. No soap, just flush it a lot. A couple times, shake it up. You don't want any sugar residue in your water because that can be a growth medium. Just use city tap water. Okay, we're going to go on to food and nutrition, what a lot of you came here for. But first, we're going to let you have a little bit of a break, let's say 10, 15 minutes. We'll see you back here, 10 minutes before the hour. The bathrooms are down the hall and outside in the main police area by the desk. See you back in about 12, 13 minutes.
Something going through SF training again.
SF? You went through it?
Yeah, about 9 years. Not a break.
So as I was saying about what's going to happen with the people who are late, we're going to okay. First, we got mobile personal shelter, clothing. Then we have water. Then we have nutrition, which we'll call food, because like water, nutrition is food, the stuff to prepare food. The stuff to eat it, store it. So I get asked this question all the time. Steve, in a disaster, a personal food storage, what are we going to eat? Corn is too, Corn is too hard for you to prepare right now until I teach you. Who said beef jerky? It's too expensive, but yes, you can. It's good for like 2-3 days.
What about spam?
Spam does last at least six to nine years. Okay. Yes. No, you don't get a card. That's a no. No vegetables.
No.
What, beans? What type of beans?
Dried beans,
right?
Dried beans, nuts.
Nuts in a vacuum container are a very good thing to buy, but they're expensive, but they're good for something to have. The lady said raisins. I want it to be a crime to make raisin cookies because they look like chocolate chip cookies, and you bite into them and you get this horrible look on your face. Okay, what the cheapest thing, okay? Well, what are you going to store in? Okay, we got another. Crackers are acceptable.
All right, we're talking about peanuts, right?
Peanuts are okay, yeah.
All right, but you want unsalted if it's a disaster, right? Because you don't want all that salt in your system, or do you?
Either or. Whatever you enjoy eating the most. So, it's kind of what everything people said, except for the thing of beans, you're talking about expensive processed foods, all you guys mentioned, okay? Vacuum stored peanuts store for a very, very long time. They're excellent source of protein, they're also a little expensive. So what are you going to eat? Donuts! And I'm not just saying that because we're in a cop shop. What are you going to eat? One of the things you are literally going to eat or make is donuts. Yes.
Donuts.
Out
of corn?
No. I told you, you're not going to be making, you forget corn. You guys aren't going to be using corn. That's a 201 level class. This is a 101. Okay. I got to have a whole class just on food just to show you how to do corn.
Okay.
It would actually be another hour, but we're not going to do that today. What would you call?
Eat roots.
I'm going to put you on some. I'm going to just let you go on. I'm going to let you go find enough roots to eat an entire day, okay?
Yeah,
you know what happiness in Sarajevo was like 10 years ago? Finding a tree root to burn just to, you know, to be able to cook something.
Donuts.
You're going to eat donuts. Donuts. It seems funny now, but it won't. Okay. The old way of food storage, okay? The traditional way, if you talk to Mormons or anyone else or survivalists, they're going to tell you wheat, it's quote unquote, wheat, milk, and honey, okay? You get big bags of wheat, you get grain grinders, and you make this horrible wheat bread, which you can hardly stomach unless you really like wheat bread. And then what it does to your digestive system ain't funny. The new way we're going to talk about with the resources that are available to you. These are not resources available to you. This is expensive. That's outside of your learning curve right now for storage of wheat. I know people who say, I got 1,000 pounds of wheat and I don't know what to do with it. Congratulations, you might as well have nothing, okay?
Milk won't keep.
No, you can store, we're talking powdered milk. Powdered milk in a Mylar bag will keep 10, 20 years. So, wheat, honey, milk. We're going to replace this with flour, oil, and sugar. Why are we going to replace this with flour?
It's cheap.
It's easy to store. It's on the shelf. You can go get a bunch of it. See this right here? Flour is wheat plus energy. If you want flour to make bread, like wheat flour, you got to get the wheat, then you got to put the energy into it, okay? To make it into a flour and to cook it. What are you missing in a disaster?
Energy.
Okay? Why don't you just buy your food with energy content already in it? The flour. Oil. Why do I have oil?
Cooking.
Yeah, cooking. But why do I have oil? What's the big thing about oil?
Lubrication.
I'm coming to your house for a disaster, that's for sure.
Bacteria.
No. What makes oil go rancid? It's a good question.
Heat.
No.
Bacteria.
No. Oxygen.
Oxygen.
Air. Okay. Makes a lot of the rancid. Oil. If you have a diet rich in oil, fatty oils, what's going to happen to you?
You're
going to fill out more. Yeah, fat. It's high in calories. What do the Inuits eat up north in the Arctic? Seal blubber, Blair blubber. What? Fat. High in calories, okay? Do you need nutrients in a disaster?
Yeah.
No. You don't.
No, you know,
what do you need? You need calories. Okay? You know, the stress alone can burn more calories off you than if you were doing physical exertion. Stress, you know, can burn a lot of calories. Let alone you're going to be sweating if the temperature is higher than 70-something, and you're going to be trying to keep warm if it's cold. All that takes calories. You need you're going to die of lack of caloric intake. Sugar. Why do I have sugar?
Energy.
Calories again, right? All of us have too high of a sugar diet. It's going to be a good thing to have for us in a disaster is sugar. Sugar stores very well. It might get hard, but you can break it up. It just gets hard from moisture. It's hygroscopic. It wants to absorb moisture. So these three things are mass-produced at cheaper prices today than any time in history. A friend of mine got the same price for wheat. He got more money for wheat in 1952 when he started farming than he did in 2002. And now what's the cost of inflation difference? Okay, about a factor of 5 to 10. We make more, we feed the world, okay? We make flour, oil, and sugar at world record cheap prices. Now that's what we're going to do. For your $10 in beef jerky that will last you one day, you can buy an entire week's worth of flour, okay? Now it's good to have beef jerky and some other things. That's called a short-term food supply, okay? A couple days. You use this for making a base to go weeks or months. You see the difference? What do people say is wrong with flour if you were in the preparedness community? What's the number one thing they'll crinkle their nose when you say flour? They'll crinkle their nose and look at you and they'll say something. What do they say? What's wrong with flour? Actually, no. What do they say?
Fat.
Huh?
Fat.
Nope. Nope. Well, I'm in a whole different community. They'll say, it ain't got no nutrition. Bugs won't even eat it. You put a line of flour in the ground, the ants will go around it. They won't eat it. What's the number one problem with storing wheat and corn and other things? Bugs eat it. Isn't this an advantage? See, flour is a wonderful advantage. Now that you understand, you don't need the nutrition, you need the calories. Don't you see flour as being different? They say it ain't got no nutrition. And they say like, it ain't got no nutrition. Bugs won't eat it. Good. You don't need nutrients. You need the calories. And I say this. When they say this to me, I say, shut up and buy a multivitamin. A multivitamin pill is a penny a day at Costco. There are people in this world who wish they had one a week. There are people in this world who die of vitamin deficiency that a penny's worth of vitamins could take care of. And we're blessed to have an unlimited supply of them for a penny apiece at Costco or any other pharmaceutical outlet, okay? So if you're really worried about nutrition, let's say you have a vitamin deficiency, you've got to have your vitamin A. It's something weird. Make sure you have your vitamins and you combine it with your diet that has no vitamins in it. Does that make sense? There's nothing you're going to get out of something that's cooked and baked, nutrient-wise, that you aren't going to get in that vitamin pill. Nothing. It has everything you need. Again, weather kills in minutes, water in days, food in weeks, months to years for a nutrient deficiency. Take everything you know about modern nutrients, health, and throw it out the door in a disaster, okay? Take your five food groups, your four food groups, what is it? Your four food groups, your balanced diet, throw it out the window. Forget about it. The majority of the world lives on one staple. The majority of the world lives on rice, or they live on corn. Rice in Asia, corn in Mexico, wheat in the United States, wheat in Russia. Other places in Europe used to live on potatoes as a starch base. That's one staple, okay? It's been done for centuries. You can do the same thing as well. Forget your fruits and veggies. Oh boy, I love saying that. You're going to be existing in what you can store and put away. Now, the question is, how do you store bread? You asked this, didn't you? How do you store bread?
In a dark.
No. How do you store bread? No. How do you store bread?
Stale.
It'll go stale. It'll go stale. It'll go moldy. You get another one. The thing is, the answer is, you can't. You can't really store bread. It's very hard. Now, I'll show you how to do it, but for our own purposes, let's show you the best way to do it. Who is my complete neophyte here for cooking? Who is helpless when it comes to cooking? Who? Oh, please, I'd love to pick on you.
He's got the big wallet just brought new.
Who? Who is the person in here who will say, oh, I can't do that?
Sure.
You?
Sure.
Who's my best cooker?
Who's my best cooker?
Who's my best cooker here? Who loves to cook? Who loves to do? You do? You really love to cook? You cook on a regular basis? Good. Come on. I need one person to help as well. Now, I told you the other day, I'm going to show you something that you will never forget, okay? That if you become penniless and poor, you're underneath the overpass, you will never go hungry. As long as you can get a couple quarters a day, I guarantee you won't go hungry. When things got bad after 9/11 for me financially, the economy took a downturn, concerns were other ways, I lived off my food storage. Okay, I ate my food storage for 3-4 months. When you're in that financial situation, you take every penny you make, you make sure you got your mortgage paid for. Food storage is one of the best insurance policies you ever have. There's people in this world, when they run out of food, they go hungry. I got to the point where I had no processed food left in the house. I didn't have bags of Cheetos or crackers or anything. If I wanted something, I had to go make it. I had the stuff to go make it. Now, I elected to do that because I wanted to make sure I had my mortgage payment done and taken care of, okay? When I had 2 mortgage payments in the bank, then I started increasing, you know, and saving time by buying foods and stuff. And even then, it was at a discount. So what I'm going to show you is something that you'll remember for a long time. A friend of mine, we're literally going to write a book called How to Live on a Dollar a Day Worth of Food. Okay? And this is some of the stuff we're going to show you. Now, some of you, raise your hand if you asked about you want to know how to store food and take care of your family in a disaster. How many of you said those? You guys, some of you really said that. I'm going to show you a week's worth of food. I'm going to show you the prices. Here we go. Here's a week's worth of food. Costs less than $10. What do I have here? I have a bag of sugar. I have too much salt, but hey, 28 cents. I have flour, 5 pounds. I have 5 pounds of flour. I spent more money than I should have, and I got some Just Add Water pancake mix, okay? I spent, this was more than I should have, and I got 4 boxes of Jiffy cornbread mix, 25 cents a piece. This is for when I get tired of making stuff out of flour. I have a jar of peanut butter. I have a jar of jelly. I have some more sugar in the form of maple syrup. I imagine you could use this like oil as well. I have a jar of oil. I have a jar of oil, okay? All this stuff is cheap. Now, you might say, oh, I might get bored eating that. Yeah, you might get bored eating some of the things you make out of this. You can say that again. I guarantee you. You will be... What's that? What'd you say? Oh. You just need the card. Here's another certificate, please. Okay, now, let's see. I've got to think about how to do this. Oh, no! Oops, I should light that first. I smell like food. So I guess I should get a help. No, we ain't making pancakes. We're going to store bread. This is how you store bread. That's right. You don't see a loaf of bread. Hang on, let me get my stuff.
I like the bottle.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna use that. We're gonna use this. We're gonna use the vodka bottle. Hey, look at here, vodka bottles. No. My girlfriend was Russian though, but she didn't drink vodka. Okay, we're heating the pan up. Let's put this over here. Let's see. Let's open up our flour.
I don't care what you're doing.
Okay, we're opening up the bag of flour. I'm going to have to wash this table down when I'm done. What's that? Yeah, so I can blame it on my sisters. Okay, now here's what we're going to do. This is how you store bread. You store bread by storing flour, okay? Now, what does it take to make bread? It's complicated, isn't it? Hey, how many people have made bread other than the bread maker? You gotta get the flour. You add things to it: yeast, sugar, egg, milk. You make it into a dough. You knead it. You let it rise. You pat it down. You let it rise again. Then you bake it. Well, that rising time can take what? 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 4 hours, depending upon how you're making your bread, right? What's the baking time? 20, 30, 40 minutes, depending upon your loaf. That's an awful lot of energy. Do you know how much energy I have to bake a loaf of bread or multiple loaves of bread? I got to have your oven with you, okay? And that's a lot of energy. If you had to store that amount of fuel, it takes a lot. We're going to make bread in 30 seconds, okay? You're going to make bread in 30 seconds. Now, what I want you to do... What's that? It'll be delicious. The fussiest child will eat it, I guarantee you. And I'm fussy. And I'm a child. Here's the recipe. I got a cup here. It happens to be a 2-cup cup. Would you scoop up about a cup? I'm just, you know, half fill this up, okay? About a cup. Just pour it, scoop it. Yeah, here's a little. So you make a mess, you're cleaning it up.
Pour it back.
Okay, about a cup, half full. A little bit less. Pour some out. Just so we have room in there. Okay, we got about a cup in here. Now, this is a precise measurement, right? You know, scoop it, right? Did I tell you you got to have 1.00 cups or anything? Just so you just scoop it up, right? Now, I want you to put an accurately calibrated, precise 1 dab of oil. Okay? Just kind of go, boop, just about a tablespoon, but just...
Oh, you want to take it?
No, about a dab. Just go, boop. How about put a little bit more of a dupe in there? Just a little bit. Stop! That's too much. That's okay. Okay, was that okay, she put a dollop of oil in there. Just a oil into this flour, okay? Now, we're going to get real technical. I want you to put in a couple sprinkles of salt into here. Oh, maybe half a teaspoon, but a couple sprinkles. You know, just an amount. Believe me, if you have too much salt in one of your recipes, you'll know it. And now, what I like to do, and now we're going to make the bread. Nope. Where's my spatula? Okay, I have a turning implement here. The Julia Child cookbook. Would you please, here, mix that up a little bit. Keep on mixing. Take notes, because you're going to make more while we're talking for everyone else to try this. Okay. This is what not the heater. This is not the source of heat I wanted to bring. It was the one I could find real quickly.
You have several choices
of them? I have lots of choices. Now, just keep. Now, start adding water to this, and you're going to make a dough. Just keep on adding water. Put it on the table and mix it up. Just keep on adding water to it till you make a ball of dough. It's not half a cup or a cup of water. There's no recipe. Just keep on mixing it together till you make a ball of dough. There you go. Mix it up really good.
Where'd you get those
plug-in adapters
on top of the propane?
Walmart. Remember when we had a class and Blaine was here from Consumers Energy?
Yeah.
I hit him hard. I cornered him after the meeting, talked to him for a half hour. Our gas infrastructure is over 100 years old. And it's got 100 years of the best people in the world doing it. It ain't going down. We talk about smallpox, people not showing up for work, massive power outages. Guess what? The natural gas system is powered by natural gas. all the pumps and substations have natural gas backup. They ain't going. Is it dope?
Add a little more.
Actually, I want. No, I want.
Like that?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Pick up the dough and start moving it into a ball. Add a little bit of flour to it sticking, okay? There you go, a little bit more. Just bring it up into a ball and just knead it in your hands, like Play-Doh. The gas system's not going down. Pretty much, you can rely upon your natural gas stove at home. You really can. That is such a huge advantage. It would be 2 hours of me talking to you about energy just to tell you how to store enough energy to cook for a year. I mean, if you wanted a year's worth of food, it's a couple hours for me to tell you how to store the energy to do that. So if you can rely on your natural gas stove for a couple weeks or a couple months or more, you're doing really good. You got a dough yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you got a dough. Great, great. But if you're not going to use natural gas, propane is a good cheap alternative. I prefer gasoline because I can handle it and I feel comfortable handling it, and I'll explain to you in a little bit why I prefer gasoline as a cooking source of heat. But if you're comfortable with propane, if you're comfortable with your stove at home, it's fine, okay? A few bottles of propane will go a long ways. Current, sure, cook on the manifold. Well, okay, just grab off a piece of dough about, I want to say the size of a golf ball. Add some flour so it's a little bit less sticky. Here, just take the ball, drop it in there.
Could you do the same thing if you had charcoal on your garbage?
Charcoal is very expensive. It's a high dollar value for a very little bit of bummer energy, okay? Uh-huh. You don't want to rely upon charcoal at all. You don't want to rely upon Dutch ovens or anything. It takes an awful lot of energy in the form of fuel. Now, she's already beginning to pad this out. You can actually work this out by hand into a tortilla, okay? You can just continue doing what she's doing and roll it out into a tortilla. We're going to show you a little shortcut. A little Mexican lady showed me. And that is, here, just, we're going to use wax paper and fold it in half. Put the tortilla dough into there. Now, where's my rolling pin? Here's my rolling pin. Okay? Expedient civil defense. Stuff that you have around you. It can be used for multiple things. Beating people. Molotov cocktails. And it can also be used as a rolling... Hey, she's look, okay? She gets a couple cards for this. She's using the salt as a rolling pin, and she's rolling out the tortilla dough. Okay? Now, remember how we made this piece of dough here. We scooped up some flour, we put in a dollop of oil, sprinkled in some salt, and added enough water to make a dough. Technically, this is a little bit thick, but it's okay, because you might make the same mistake. And here, will you please throw it onto the griddle? Just poof. Now, depending upon the thickness, it's 10 to 30 seconds on the side. It all depends how hot. Tortillas... wide cooking range. If it's too cool, it just takes longer to bake. If it's too hot, it just cooks real quick. So you don't have to be precise about having a flame of a certain size. Just get the darn thing hot, okay? And throw the dough onto it. And if you get really good making tortillas, you take a wet cloth and you dab it with water and it puffs up, makes pockets and everything. But that's beyond me, okay? We're just talking about storing bread in the form of flour. When it's burning and setting off the smoke alarm, it's done. Take a look. Flip it over real quick. Flip it over on the other side, okay? See, hers is a little bit thick, so it might take a minute to cook. But, you know, look at this. No, I don't have any hummus. Okay. Would you start pulling off some more? Would you start pulling off some more balls and everything so we can cook up some more and rolling them out? You want to move some stuff over there. Okay. You think that's done?
Yes.
Okay, pull it off. Just put it down. But it's going to have to cool for, not on the wax paper, it's going to melt it. Just put it down and put it in your cooler.
Oh,
Okay. Now, here we have some flatbread, okay? There's Norwegian flatbread, there's tortillas, there's everything else, okay? Now, here we have a flat piece of bread, quickly cooked, about 30 seconds, okay? What can we can eat this thing raw as it is, right? What else can we do with this? Man does not live on bread alone, he puts peanut butter and jelly on it. So you can put, very good, you can, if you got a sweet tooth, you can put some sugar, use some syrup on this. What else, what other things that there might be in our storage we could put with this?
Butter.
Cinnamon and sugar. In fact, the hot dog, no, you won't have them. Beans, rice can go with this. This can be the wrap for beans and rice, which store very well. We'll get to that. And remember I said donuts? You see this dough that she's, you see this dough that she's making? If you take this dough right here, see this? This is hot oil. It's at 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Remember I told you about how much energy it takes to bake with and bake a whole loaf of bread? Do you think it takes a lot of energy to heat that oil up to 400 degrees compared to baking for a half hour? No. It doesn't take much, does it? See that candy thermometer in there? It's a $4 candy thermometer. It just lets me know that I'm at 400 degrees. So you get oil up to 400 degrees. It takes about 3-4 minutes. And then you take the same dough right here, and you drop it in there, and you start making a fried dough. How many have had Indian bread or fried Indian bread? You like it? It's what it is. If you add a little baking powder to this, it puffs up, okay? The elephant ears. This is what elephant ears are, okay? There's a whole world of fried doughs. If you add a few more things, if you add some milk and some eggs, like some powdered milk to this and some baking powder.
I think they're catching some fire.
You can flip it over.
Hey,
no, it's doing okay.
Pockets.
You're making pockets. Okay, if you add some more things, then you start making donuts. Do you see what I mean by we're going to be eating donuts? It's flour, baking powder, oil, salt, sugar, a lot of sugar in donuts. There's a world of recipes that are beyond this class that you can make on top of a skillet. You take 89 cents for Aunt Maple's pancake mix, okay? Yeah, just add water. This is just add water. You put it on top of the hot plate, you got something that like this, one a little thicker, that you can put peanut butter and jelly and syrup on. You're eating something, okay? You're eating something quickly in minutes with a minimal amount of food that is flexible. You can put multiple things on it. It complements what you have. It's giving you something familiar. You're not choking down grainy wheat bread. You're eating a white flour-based product that we as fussy Americans like to eat and what we're used to. If you take the pancake mix and add water to it, and you drop the dough into hot oil, you know what you get? You get some things that are heavenly delicious, especially when you put sugar and cinnamon on it.
Oh yeah.
Good
question.
Yeah.
Eggs.
About 5 months out in the open, fresh. Okay. Very. If you have sugar and flour and stuff stored as your base, and something happens, the earth trembles, and you're running to the grocery store, you know what you're picking up? Butter, milk, eggs, because you want to add them to stuff that you're baking because it makes them richer. It makes them more flavorful. And they're going to spoil, but if you want to get through that month or 2 months, you know, a bunch of eggs will complement your stuff nicely. If not, you got this stuff to eat. In fact, here, let me tear this up. Huh? He's on an Atkins diet. Who wants some? Who wants to try this? She's making more for all of you to try, okay? Yeah, I'm making another batch. I really wanted to do the frying of the oil here, but it's just too much time to do it. It is plain, and it's plain, but you can put stuff on it, and it's better than nothing. We made it in 30 seconds. I want you to remember this. We took pennies worth of flour and a little heat, and we made a bread in seconds. If you're homeless and you're begging for quarters, you're not taking these quarters and going to McDonald's. You're getting a frying pan from Salvation Army. You're making a fire out of some junk that you find. And you're taking the flour and oil and salt and maybe some sugar, if you're splurging because someone gave you a buck, and you're making something that you can eat now. Okay? When I was poor, I told you I ate my food storage. What's the number one thing I ate? Biscuits. I make some of the meanest biscuits you'd ever taste. I took a little bit of money, I went and got buttermilk, butter, and I used that with my flour, and I made biscuits. They were my snack. I was working my rear end off. I ate biscuits with jams and jelly. I can eat the same thing every day for weeks. Okay? You can make me grilled cheese sandwiches every day for dinner. I'll eat them for a month and then eat nothing else. And then switch to something else. Okay? I'm not fussy about my meals. Forever. Which is a question I'll get to about flour. I'll tell you how to store flour. It's real easy. Flour will stay forever. As a fun note, they found wheat in some pyramids in Egypt. Over 4,000 years old, they sprouted it and grew wheat out of it. Okay. You ladies doing okay? Who wants some more? This one's a little thicker and not quite cooked all the way. It's a little thicker and not quite cooked all the way, but it's delicious. Really, you want tortillas to be as thin as possible. But even if you goof up, they're okay. Does this make sense? Does anyone have questions?
How come she's not eating her own food?
Yeah, it's a growth medium for bacteria. Now look at this. I was the keynote for a preparedness fair, for our Mormon preparedness fair. Those who don't know, Mormons preach to themselves that they should have a year's worth of food storage. Actually, they preach 7 years, but most of them come down to around a year. Less than 5% of the community does this. So they have preparedness fairs and stuff, and they invited me to come in as an outsider, as a speaker. See this right here? This is the same tortilla dough with a little bit of powdered milk added that these ladies are making right here. They just put in like a quarter cup of powdered milk, okay? Just makes it a little bit richer. And they fried that same tortilla dough in hot oil. It took about 20, 30 seconds. That pot you saw up there was a 6-quart pot. We were feeding 20 people at a time out of that pot. They were coming up not for seconds and thirds, or fifths and sixths and tenths, okay? And we had tongs putting it in and pulling out at the same time. And they would put cinnamon and sugar and honey, and the little kids would come up and put the honey on it themselves and eat it. And this is a picture of a mother giving her 14-month-old daughter flour, water, powdered milk, might be some sugar in there, fried in oil. The 14-month-old girl is eating this. Okay, most people think of survival food as yuck. The stuff isn't yuck.
Don't forget the address. We can come and get some of those.
No, you can go to Costco. You can get all you want. I mean, look at this. I got two ladies here. I got two ladies here with 5 pounds of flour. Okay? With 5 pounds of flour. And they're making food that I'm passing out here to you guys at this rate. One... Okay, one burner, one skillet could feed a lot more. Who wants more? One skillet and one burner is feeding a great deal of people. Okay, I think that's probably enough. The same thing with this Jiffy. The Jiffy stuff here, it requires an egg and shortening. You know what happens? In milk. If you just add water to this, you know what? You can do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? If you have some milk, you put it in there, it's a little bit richer. Mm-hmm. You can take the cornmeal mix, put a little water with it, make a ball, and you can drop it into the hot oil. Or you can do it on a skillet. The thing is, I want you to know, you can cook and you can feed your family with a source of heat, a burner of some type, okay? Your gas stove, propane, gasoline, whatever, and a skillet and a pot. No big ovens, no Dutch ovens, no camping ovens, okay? Skillets, Big Lots, $4 a piece. Pots, 1 quart, 2 quart, 4 quarts, Big Lots, $2, $4, $5, okay? This is cheap stuff. The flour was 89 cents. Everything, I got it all itemized here. Okay, milk, when you buy milk, buy it in a Mylar pouch like a Kroger's, not in a box. It stays good for 10, 20 years. The box will go bad quicker because Mylar is a 1970s, 80s technology. Wax paper is a 1900s technology, okay? Mylar is a much better way to store your powdered milk. So buy it in the Mylar pouches. Flour tortillas, here's the basic recipe, 2 1½. Okay, 2 cups of flour, 1 cup of water, 2 1½. But see, the way I told you, I like better. A scoop of flour, a dollop of oil, a sprinkle of salt, water to make a dough. That you'll never forget for the rest of your life. Biscuits. A basic biscuit is just add baking powder to the same mixture, and it puffs up. And you can bake it. If you have natural gas, you have a natural gas oven, you can now bake biscuits in your oven. Got it? In fact, I got a recipe here. You know what makes things go bad? It's the oil and milk and stuff. When you bake things, it makes them go bad. It's like cakes spoil, right? And pancakes will spoil because they got these biscuits here are flour, water, salt, sugars in here, and that's it.
Baking powder.
Baking powder.
Oh, wow.
You know how old these are?
No.
You can bite. Who's challenging? Who really wants to taste this? You really want to try one?
Yeah, I don't know how old they are.
They're 3 years old.
Oh my God.
Taste. Try it. You bite into it. Your teeth are healthy.
And you can also
use
them because of
what's your
neighbor's fellow.
Yeah, they're bulletproof.
Oh my goodness.
You're crunching into it though, aren't you? You're crunching into it. You can remix it with some water and everything. It's got a lot of calories to it. This has been like this in my cupboard. Not even sealed, just in this bag, loose like this. And, you know, it's stored for. This is the age old recipe for hardtack that they used to use in ancient military on ships. Except when you add the baking powder, it makes it a little bit fluffier and easier to crunch through. You know, you can eat animal food. It might play havoc with your digestive system. Cheaper to buy a Purina. All this stuff, you can feed on the bread. The heck with that, eat the animal. Okay, serious. Let's talk about this. We talked about feeding your family. Here it is, right here.
Could you build a house out of these?
Yes. You know what hell holds together the brick and the, you know what the mortar is for the bricks in many of the big old buildings in Russia?
Yeah.
Eggs.
Ooh.
Eggs. You can make mortar out of eggs.
Okay.
Here we go. This is what, if you ladies so desire to stop or continue, that's fine.
You are, you know.
Okay, look at them rolling. Notice, look, here's something to learn. See how quickly they're improving? See how quickly the tortillas are getting better?
You're thinner.
They're getting better, okay? It's not hard. They're learning very quickly. And it's not costing anything. You will learn very quickly when you need to. This base stuff I got right here. I got 2 5-pound bags of flour for 79 cents. I got these at Aldi's. You know what Aldi's is?
Yeah.
It's just cheaper than Kroger's, okay? But I got all these in literally 5 minutes of Aldi's yesterday. I walked right through. Yes, the dollar store. At Aldi's, it's basically as cheap to buy the 5 pounds as it is the 50 pounds of Costco. Sometimes the 5 pounds are nice because you can put them in Ziploc bags and totes. You can put them places, okay? 50-pound bags, 25-pound bags, sometimes they're harder to work. I store the larger, 25-pound, 50-pound bags. Flour, 5 pounds of it, 79 cents each. Vegetable oil was the expensive thing, $1.49. The oil you want to store, you know what the fry shortening is that you get at Costco's in 35-pound boxes? It's a box with a jug in it, 4.5 gallons, $12. It's at Gordon Food Service as well. You know what I'm talking about? These are fine fish, okay? That's the real oil you want to store. You don't want to buy gallons of oil for $6 at Kroger's. You're better off spending your money on the hydrogenated fry oil for what you're going to be doing. Keep it sealed and it won't go rancid. Vegetable oil, $1.49. Salt, 23 cents. Peanut butter, $1.29. Grape jelly, 99 cents. Sugar, 5 pounds of it, more than I need, for $1.69. Corn muffin mix, 25 cents a piece. Pancake mix, just add water, 85 cents. Syrup was 89. All of this food cost $10.15. All this food can be made on a skillet. Nothing fancy. A skillet. You can get it on sale for $1. You understand me? tortillas, flatbread, cornbread, on the skillet and in oil, peanut butter and jelly, pancakes in skillet and in oil, like I was talking. You can put pancake mix in oil, make a fry dough. You can put it on top of the skillet and make pancakes. Oil, sugar, water. You got this. You're not doing too bad, are you?
That's 1 week for how many people?
1 week for one person. The rule of thumb is things that you add water to, like what do you add water to eat? What do you use water to prepare stuff? Rice. Beans. 1 pound per person per day is about a meal. I mean, 3 meals. Things that you bake that you don't add water to. Biscuits. Flour, corn, stuff you make biscuits, flatbreads, pancake mix, all those things. 2 pounds per adult male in America per day. Asians are different. They're smaller. Okay? And they eat less. But for us, it's 1 pound and 2 pounds are the approximate amounts. So if you have a 50-pound bag of flour, that's about 25 days for one large adult male. Got it? So that's how I say what I have up here is about a week. Because I got 10 pounds of flour, I got a couple pounds of other stuff. Got it?
We're all done cooking.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much.
They still have to eat. Really, we have an overflow here.
This fascinating. Okay, so here's your base. Now I'm going to look at this. I'm going to look at this. Who wants more? Okay, I'm going to look at this. Look at this. An American child eating this stuff, okay? Okay, here's your base. And now I'm looking at this from a Costco perspective or a Sam's Club perspective or a Gordon Food Service. You guys can split this. Here, you're a cert director. I want you to try this.
Oh, I'll try it.
Come on. Pass it around. Okay, what's rice cost? 100 pounds of rice is about $15. Do you know that the average Asian eats 1 pound of rice per day? And I, believe me, I asked quite a few Asians, okay? They're happy to eat rice 3 times a day, every day. And small Asian female eats about, small to us, average to them, Asian female eats about 1 pound of rice a day. You know, that's $78 for a year's worth of food for one Asian. Think about it. Now, I had a friend who took his girlfriend out for a steak dinner. I put this in, you know, I said, you know, you spent that amount of money on a steak dinner, it could be feeding one person for a day. I mean, for a year. Not that there's nothing bad with going out spending $70 on a steak dinner. Just I wanted to put it in perspective as far as food storage goes and opportunity cost. Flour, about $16. I put this in 100-pound terms. $16 for 100 pounds. It's about $4 for 25 pounds. Sugar, $20. $10 for 50. Oil, like I told you, you don't want the jugs of oil like I had unless you're doing like a week or a month. If you're going for a year's worth or 6 months worth, or, you know, larger amounts, you're looking at the 35-pound, they're called 35-pound jugs, but they're liquid and it's 4.5 gallons. It's $12 at Gordon Food Service, about $13 at Costco. This is just a large amount of calories for you. Here, if I talk about 2 days, per 2 pounds per day dry, 1 pound per day wet. Now, see, and what did I miss up here? What's a staple that I missed that stored for a long time, years and years, tens of years? Beans. I didn't put beans up here. Beans are about $1 a pound on sale.
Your sugar, are you going with the white or the other brown sugar?
White. White sugar. Just straight white sugar, the stuff that the nutritionists hate. Now, this is your base. Okay, you build a base, then you add to the base. What do you use to augment your base to make the stuff taste better and give you more versatility?
Butter.
No, you're not doing butter and eggs, but you can't store them.
Powdered milk.
Powdered milk in a Mylar pouch. I got to give cards out.
Sugar and
cinnamon. Sugar's up there.
Spices.
But spices. Spices, sugar.
Pepper.
Some people really like the spices. I don't. So that's why I don't go bam. Your spices. What else can you use to augment to make the?
By the same token, though, if this happens, you're going to have all that stuff.
No, you're not.
In your house.
No, you're not going to have much peanut butter. You don't have a week's worth of peanut butter in your house. Unless you're a peanut butter holic. Okay. Okay, peanut butter hog. Okay.
Big thing to peanut butter in the last week for me.
Okay. Like I said, a week.
No, but what I'm saying is if something happens, or you got this as your base.
This is your base. Now,
immediately you'll be able to use whatever you've got.
Right. Now, once you've bought your base, okay, this is not expensive stuff. If you want a month worth of food, we're talking $20-$30 worth of stuff. But you want to have a better month's worth of food, okay? A little bit more enjoyable month's worth of food. We're talking about adding things to your base. So we're talking about peanut butters, jellies. And this is stuff you find, especially when you find it on sale. Okay, so you keep an eye out. And there's another guy I like. His name's Clarence. Or is it Clarence? Yeah, and Clarence has a clearance. You pick up things. So spices, powdered milk, peanut butter, jelly. What else can you add to this base so you can make other things? Remember, you're making stuff with
powder, garlic, salt.
No, you're not going to be my shelter, lady.
But you say that flour, how do you store the flour? I
brought
flour home
from the store,
they have little bugs in it.
Well, it's because the bugs were in it to begin with. If they're not in it to begin with, you're really not going to get them. I have flour that's over 10 years old. You can come inspect it any time I do. There's nothing in it. How do we want to store our flour? Okay. How do we want to store our rice, our sugar, and how do we want to store our dry products? We want to... What? Vacuum bags would be the best way, but it's not a resource available to most people.
Jars
are a good way, but they're expensive. It takes a lot of energy to make the glass. You're paying for that energy content of glass. Glass is expensive because you got to get up to about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, float it over a pool of tin, and then form it. That's why glass is expensive. Plastic bags are a good way, but what's the enemy of our food storage? What degrades our food? Oxygen and what else? Moisture. Okay? We're going to keep the bugs out. We know that. So one of the best ways, let's say you're going for a month's worth of food or more. Okay? I really would love for everyone here to have at least a month's worth of food of these basics. Believe me, you just might be using it. So we're going to be talking about this type of stuff. What did I say holds the world record for storage? These hold the world record for price as far as the amount of space, for the best integrity of material. These 18-gallon totes are cheaper than 5-gallon totes, are cheaper than 50-gallon totes, are cheaper than 5-gallon pails. Okay? This size right here. Plus, you can generally, if it's full of flour, it might weigh 100 pounds. Two men or two people can still pick it up and move it at least some distance. Question, you know?
What's
that?
What store is the cheapest one?
Store? Costco, Sam's, Gordon Food Service. Or the smaller quantities at Aldi's or Dollar Store or any other discount. Oh, these, the totes. It varies from Big Lots to Lowe's. Lowe's has very good prices on Rubbermaid. Lowe's has a great selection of plastics. When you see them on sale at other places, you see a $4 tote on sale for $2.50, buy $20 worth, okay? Now, what do you do? We're not going to talk about vacuum packaging. We're not going to talk about using carbon dioxide, dry ice, or anything else. Okay, that's a more of an advanced technique that you want to use for grains, wheats, and corn. We're not going to cover that in this class. All I want you to do is to get... See, the big thing about storage stuff is the cost of the box that you put stuff into. You can spend more money on this container or other containers than on what's going into it. Look at gasoline, $1.50 a gallon. It's going to cost you $5 for the container to put into. That doubles your price. You want to store $100 gallons for the gas, you're talking about $100 in containers, let alone the gasoline. So you got a $4 tote. Just take your bags of flour. About two or three 25-pound bags will fit in here. Put the lid on. See there's two holes here on the bottom? I mean on the handles, two holes on each side. You tape these up or use silicone and shut them. And put the lid on. If you're going to be in and out of it, put duct tape around it or any other type of tape. If you want to seal it up for years, silicone it. Okay? If you're not going to use it till you get into it, silicone it. But duct tape will work in a pinch. And all what's that going to do? It's going to keep the moisture out. Duct tape degrades over about a year or two, and moisture will get in. And even then, your flour will still be okay. I got flour that was exposed to the atmosphere for 5-6 years. It's just fine. It's just that in a humid environment like today and other places in the world, it would be better if you put it into a plastic container and sealed it. Now, if you have nothing else, put it in a clean garbage bag and tie it off shut, your flower, because it wants to absorb moisture. Put it in a bag and just close it. That's a 10-cent option to you for storing your flower. This is better, but that will work. Same thing for rice. The enemy is moisture and oxygen. Seal it up in something like this. You don't have to get fancy. You don't have to. Well, seal a meal things are ridiculously priced that you get it on TV and at Costco. You're spending, you can spend more money on the plastic than you do on a steak going into it.
Mm-hmm.
So forget that, okay? You want to use mass manufactured, cheapest stuff you can to store your stuff. Any questions on how you're going to store your flour, your rice, your sugar, your oil? The oil you're just going to store in its original container in as cool and dark of a place as you can. Closet or basement. Any, do you have any questions in your mind at all about how you're going to store what you just buy at the store? Okay.
Kitty litter.
Kitty litter is principally dyed
plastic parts. You know, because you get the
used or new?
You get onions. So you only use the used stuff. Well, I mean the scoopable containers that they come in, the plastic ones.
Oh, yeah, kitty litter and, like, gallon jugs and stuff.
Well, they're big. No,
you know what?
Big buckets like that.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know what? You could even store your flour and your sugar, those soda bottles, dry them out. You can store stuff in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's, I mean, use what you got around you that's free.
Coolers?
No, no coolers. Before you well, before you're gonna throw it away, yeah. You know the vodka bottles and stuff. You know what I store in vodka bottles and any type of glass bottle, wine bottle or something. I put kerosene into them. No, I don't do it for Molotov cocktails. See, I don't have any kids. I know I won't drop it or break it. I will break it. But the thing is, if you wanted to fill a lantern up, it's easier to take a bottle and fill up a lantern with kerosene than it is a 5-gallon container. Plus, it's free. I mean, I was going to throw it out. I mean, a kerosene container costs $10. That's $10 for 5 gallons. That's $2 a gallon on top of the $1.60 you're paying for kerosene to begin with. So if I put away 5 gallons in jars over the period of a year, that's $10 I save that I can put towards something else. It's just something that I had that I was going to use. If you're worried about dropping it and breaking it, don't use it. Don't do that, okay? But me, I don't have that concern yet. Ask, what else can you buy in the store? We covered jam, jelly, peanut butter, any... Oh, something else you can buy in the store that's good. Just add water soups. They're dehydrated. Anything dehydrated stores for years and years, decades, okay? Question.
Tuna?
If I got some pictures that aren't in here, tuna comes in a very well-sealed can, okay? That can store for a long time. In fact, they got these really nice Mylar pouches with tuna in it, and they'll store for a very long time. But what's wrong with buying tuna for long-term storage? Expensive, okay? You can store a week's worth of tuna for what you would spend for 5 months worth of flour. But you'd use tuna to augment your base. Once you had a base, you said, I had 2 months worth of food. I'm happy with 2 months worth of food. And you really love tuna or something. You found it on sale. You'd buy it. You'd use it to augment your stores. I am not a big fan of food rotation. Food rotations where you buy 10 boxes of something, take one box off, eat your cornflakes, and you go to the store, you buy another one, you put it back into the back of the queue, you keep on moving through. Historically, people fail to do this. They fail to rotate their food. I won't even recommend it. I want you to get a bunch of stuff that will store for 20 years, and I want you to put it away and forget about it, or, you know, add to it. So it's there when you need it. You don't open it up and it's spoiled or it's something. I want you to buy a bunch of stuff that will always be there, and that's your base, okay? I don't want you to spend a lot of money doing it. I covered this a bit. Natural gas will not go off, pretty much, okay? I mean, short of nuclear detonations, large upheavals of the earth and other stuff, you can pretty much depend upon your natural gas. If I was going to tell you how to store stuff for cooking and baking, it would be a class in itself. We talk about diesel, kerosene, propane, price advantages and everything. So you can pretty much depend upon your natural gas not going off. If you don't have natural gas or you want something to augment your natural gas, in case it does go off, for short periods of time, months worth of food storage. You can look at propane. Little bottles of it or the barbecue jugs are cheap enough. They're reasonably priced. And since we're not talking about baking bread over 45 minutes, we're talking about making tortillas in minutes, okay? Propane will work underneath these situations. Me, I store gasoline in gasoline containers, and containers capable of holding gasoline because I'm very comfortable with gasoline. I work with hydrocarbon chemistry, thermal chemistry, on a regular basis. You don't keep gasoline in your basement where it can leak and get to a pilot light. I keep it in my garage that's not attached to my house, okay? But I keep gasoline because I want just one thing that does a lot. So I can use gasoline. I got a little gasoline Coleman stove. You can get gasoline Coleman stoves at Walmart for $35 and $55. One burner, $35. Two burners, $55. The typical green stove, you know what I'm talking about? It runs on gasoline. So if I got gasoline, not only can I move my car if I have to get to places or haul people or move things, I'll show you in a minute how you can make electricity off of it without a generator. I can run my stove off of it. So it's one thing for me that does a lot of different things. If you're not comfortable with gasoline, don't store it. If you say, well, this is no big deal for me, I can do it safely. Mark Fournier from the Warren Fire Department won't throw a fit. Then go ahead and use gasoline. It's much more flexible.
How long is gasoline?
Gasoline you can store indefinitely. The enemy of gasoline is oxygen and light. Okay, so you want to have cool, dark, and tightly sealed. If you store gasoline in a container you get from the store, a gasoline container, take the spout out. Because the spout's down in the fuel, it'll build up vapor pressure on a day like today, and it'll push down the gas and force it out the spout no matter how hard you crank it down. You'll get gasoline leak. So you take the spout out and you crank it down, seal the end very tightly, and then when you're in your garage, if you smell gasoline, you know you got a small leak. It's leaking out, okay? So you've got to be vigilant and keep an eye on it. If you store it in metal containers, like 5-gallon metal tins, be careful. You can get condensation on it, and it'll rust. If it rusts to the bottom, the gas will leak out. In your garage, you just make a mess. In your house, in your basement, where you never put gasoline, you'll find your water heater, pilot light, and it'll end your problems with food storage because you won't have a place to store it. Gasoline, I mentioned, this is me. This is in Rachel, Nevada. Anyone know what Rachel, Nevada is famous for? It's a desert, no kidding. What's near Rachel, Nevada? Anyone know? This is worth three cards. Test facility. Whose test facility?
Government test.
What test
facility?
Area 51.
Lady gets three cards. One, two, three. Area 51's out there. Now, I'm not out there for Area 51. I'm just going through, and I happen to have been close to it.
Nellis is near there, too?
It's called the Nellis Bombing Range, officially. Okay. If you violate the perimeter, you get a ticket for violating the Nellis Air Force Bombing Range. No, it doesn't. Okay, here I am in Rachel, Nevada. Here's the sign. 110 miles to the next gasoline, okay? And the gas station in Rachel closes at 6 p.m. I'm sitting here. I got another 400 miles of range in my truck because I got two 15-gallon barrels of gasoline in the back of the truck because I have a 700-mile range when I travel. Here's actually, you can see I got underneath the cover, I got two 15-gallon HDPE drums. These are the same drums you use for storing water. I got gasoline in them. And they're sealed tight. I got a siphon hose going down into the gas tank, and I'm actually refilling. I'm very comfortable with high vapor pressure hydrocarbons, okay? I do this because I understand them very well. I actually refill as I'm driving down the road. I thought you'd just find this interesting. This actually evolved into a concept that I've taught. It's called an Iditarod vehicle. You know what the Iditarod race was? They had to do over 1,000 miles on dog sleds to go get a vaccine, and then they came back. That's what most people forget. They went back with the vaccine. This allows, in emergency services, the Iditarod vehicle allows you to take a vehicle and to go a very long distance one way and then come back. Let's say we had a massive outbreak in the United States. You're quarantined. You're not leaving the state. You're not leaving the city. And we had some dead bodies here. and we had to get them to USAMRIT or the CDC for analysis to say it was critical. Or the police station radio broke down, the only part was in Iowa. You need a vehicle that can go there and come back without stopping. And, you know, this is how this evolved. It's called the Iditarod vehicle concept. And this is how I tested it and did. Actually, I'll be leaving tomorrow or the next day. I'll be gone for a month, and I'll drive 10,000 miles. And I'll have these barrels in the truck. They're actually in there now. I will drive past gasoline in the mountains at $2 a gallon and fill up at less than $1.50 in a major town. Other than that, I'd only be able to drive 300 miles. With this, I can drive 700. But that's me. Energy. See, we stopped at 8. Anyone need a break, or shall we keep on going? Okay, energy. This is something else that you'll find interesting and you won't forget. We're going to talk about taking everything, basically everything that you had that was useful and now became useless, and making it useful again. Forget your freezer. Forget your refrigerator, your microwave. How many people have a freezer full of stuff? I mean a real freezer full of stuff, you know, like half cows and stuff like that. Generators are for thunderstorms. Okay, you have a generator if your power is going to be out for most of a week. I just love when people buy a $500 generator and have 5 gallons worth of gas for it. They run out in a couple hours. But if you use a generator to keep your house, your freezer going, if you have a power outage from something short, okay? We're talking here about major threats to your life that are lasting weeks or months. 9/11 and worse. And believe me, it's not hard for our enemies to do things to us that are much worse. World Trade Center, that was about $100 million, okay? We're talking about economic damage. We're talking $100 billion. We had $100 billion of economic damage done to us with 9/11. Disasters that are easy to create and do, we're talking not $100 billion, we're talking tens of trillions of dollars of damage to the United States of America. Okay, so generators aren't going to cover it if your power situation is out. So forget your refrigerator, forget your freezer. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to eat everything in your freezer and your refrigerator. It's not pretty good eating, too. I mean, you're going to be eating steak for a week. Your freezer will stay cold if you don't open it much for 2-3 days at least. Okay, you can put quilts and blankets and other things on top of it and extend that a little bit longer. The meat will stay good in ambient conditions for a couple days as well. Or you can put the meat in your cooler. Okay, so with this energy concept, I'm going to show you, forget the big stuff, okay? You aren't going to be able to use it anyways. I mean, what do you want to eat a refrigerator for when there's no grocery store to get stuff to put it back into it? I mean, you can make tortillas in 30 seconds. You can refrigerate your tortillas. You see what I'm talking about? First thing with energy, the most basic thing. I loathe many things the government says, especially ready.gov, the Red Cross website, and a few others. They say, make sure you have a flashlight and batteries. People, it is so darn easy to say what type of batteries. Do not bet your life and your emergency kit or your illumination on a little pen light flashlight with 2 AA batteries in it, okay? It's a very small source of energy. It's actually 2,400. It's 2.4 ampere hours in a AA alkaline, okay? A D cell is 14 ampere hours, 7 times the energy in a D cell battery. If you have a flashlight, I don't care if it's a dollar ever ready flashlight, you want to have a D cell flashlight. And in it, you want to have D cell alkaline batteries. Question?
How good are those real big square batteries with the...
Oh, the square ones? Square batteries are actually the same as 4 D cells put together. Exactly the same. So, to answer your question.
4 D cell mag light is the same as one of those flashlights.
That's right. But what you really want, the 4 D cell mag light is a lot of light. You want to use that for searching for a lost child. You want smaller lights for most of your main stuff. So a $1 cheap flashlight works just fine for, you got either one, you ain't going to trip over stuff in the house. So you want the one that draws less energy for around the house. So you want a D-cell flashlight, okay? You want to have alkaline batteries. My preference is Duracell. They have very good chemistry in them. They handle cold and heat very well. Speaking of batteries, what does a date on a battery mean? Who can tell me? What does it mean? What is with the battery when it reaches that date? They're about 5 years in the future.
Expired.
Will it be a leak or something?
No.
No.
Here's all it means. It means at that date, if the battery is stored at room temperature, ambient conditions of a house, 72 degrees, if the battery is stored at those temperatures on that date, it has approximately 82 to 84% of its original energy when it was made. So if those batteries would power a radio for 100 hours when you bought them, on that date, 5 years in the future, if stored at ambient conditions, it would power your radio for 82 to 84 hours. Those batteries will have a great deal of their energy even after 10 years of sitting in your drawer. I have alkalines that are 15 years old and they still work just fine. After 10 years, they might only have 45 or 50% of their energy in them, but that is a lot better than nothing, isn't it? It's a stupid public point. So you got that. It's an ignorant public point, okay? And it's marketing and other things, but that's what it means. Now it's a tool for you to look at. I have batteries dated 1998. I can bring them out and show you they work just fine. They're just going to have less life than a fresh one. But running for 50, 60 hours is better than running for no hours. So they store very long times. True or false? Your batteries store better if they're in the refrigerator or freezer?
True.
False. 100% without a doubt false, directly from the head chemist at Duracell Corporation. I don't care what Popular Science, Consumer Reports, or anything else has told you. I've done it. It's false. Batteries are formulated. Remember I told you I was an electrical chemical person for Chrysler Corporation? What are batteries? They're electrical chemical reaction. It's actually a redox operation of reduction of metal. It's a metal chemistry reaction. They are formulated. The paste, the alkaline paste, and the metal, especially formulated with alloys and everything, to have its maximum storage and operating ability at ambient conditions of a house, around 72 degrees Fahrenheit, because where do people store things? In their house. And they want to be able to advertise they got the best life of anyone else. That's how it's all developed. Keep your batteries in your drawer. Your basement's fine. If it's 55 or 60, that's in your basement. That's fine. Don't freeze them. Don't put them in your refrigerator. Put your film in your refrigerator, not your batteries. Who uses film anymore, though? And you'll get the maximum life on your batteries. Buying batteries at Costco for less than a buck a piece is a great way to have an immediate source of energy. If you're going to have an emergency radio, what do you want to be powered off of?
Batteries.
There's that government side again. Have extra batteries. If you're going to put a radio aside, you want it to run off of D-cell batteries. A small of a radio you can get running off of D-cells. You can get them for $20, $30, $15, $10 a big lots. Okay? And because I take the little Radio Shack $8 AM/FM transistor radios, the ones that have two AA's in them, mm-hmm. and I solder on to them a D-cell. You need a pack that holds two D-cells, a Radio Shack, mm-hmm. two wires. I solder on the terminals and I put D-cells into it. You know how long that little AM/FM radio plays 24 hours a day on two D-cells? 3.5 months.
Oh, my God.
Okay? You know those wind-up radios you buy with the springs? You know what spring life is? You know the thing has spring life? How many hours do you think before that spring goes boing and doesn't work anymore? 3,000 hours. Now, in an emergency, how many hours a day do you think you'd be listening to the radio?
All day.
12 hours at least. You know what? Duracell batteries at Costco are less than a buck a piece, okay? So say they're a buck a piece. Four batteries, two at a time, two batteries in the radio, then you expire them, you put two more batteries in. Those $4 worth of batteries in an $8 radio plays for longer than the spring does. That costs $60, $80. Okay? And you don't have to sit there and crank the darn thing either. You just leave it on. So D-cell batteries are really a marvel of modern material science and modern electrical chemistry. They are world different than batteries that were made originally. Competition has really evolved them. So D-cells is a key word. Alkaline, I prefer Duracell. If you're buying batteries that you're using all the time, the Rayovac alkalines have the best dollar per energy that you can use. That is if you're using batteries on a regular basis. If you're storing them, I prefer to have you have Duracells. Rechargeables, don't you dare have a rechargeable battery in anything you're going to bet your life on, okay? I will get seriously angry and violent with you if I see you doing that. Rechargeables have a fraction of the energy of an alkaline, 1/4, 1/5 in general. Okay, in the D-cell market. Some of the newer ones are half. Thing with rechargeables, I told you how long the alkalines last, okay? 5 years on the date, 10 years at least, and 15 years that I have. Nickel metal hydride batteries lose more than 1% per day. That means in 100 days, they're dead. You can't store them and put them away and use them, but you can't rely upon them. They'll be dead. They have their own purpose, but not in your go bag, not in your cert kit, not in the flashlight that when you go and grab it, it has to work. Don't ever use rechargeable for any of those. Rechargeables die after a certain number of years. They just don't work anymore. It could be 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, depending upon how good and what the technology is of the battery. Either way, we're talking about things that I want you to get and put away for years and decades. So when your life is going to depend upon it, it's got to be a good alkaline battery. Oklahoma City, the fire department and police department, they have charge sticks. You know what those are? They're rechargeable batteries all put together. So they go into the police flashlights because they use them every day, and the police can't take them home and give them to the kids working their toys. Imagine being a rescue worker crawling into the aftermath of Oklahoma City. It took you 3 hours to crawl in there. You're just getting near the rescue victim. It'll take you 3 hours to crawl out. Your battery goes, whoop. There were men stuck in there with no light because they were relying upon their Maglite flashlight with a rechargeable NiCad stick in it, okay? When the World Trade Center happened, I called my buddies at Duracell and I said, guys, get trucks down there quickly because I knew this would happen to Oklahoma City. And they said, Steve, the truck's already there. They sent semi-trailers full of cases and cases of batteries down to the World Trade Center because they knew that they were going to need them. They're going to be in places. When you're in the dark and your light goes, it's dark, okay? You're stuck there. These senses, your eyeballs are gone. You're relying on your ears and your fingers. You don't want to be in the dark and get stuck. So there's a good thing to remember to take home, the D-cells. Okay. Now, this is for some of you guys, and this is not for some of you guys. I'd really like to have the CERT members who can have these things have them, and I'd like some of you to have them in your house as well. See this? What did I teach you about stuff? See this? Forget it, okay? Forget. Don't go, this is a battery pack. Don't go, oh, what's that battery pack he's got? What does it do? Okay? This is just a 12-volt battery. Why do I have this here? Because I didn't want to haul a car battery into the police station. It's too heavy, okay? This is a 12-volt source, just like your car. It's just 12 volts. So please ignore just this little pack right here. What I'm holding up is an inverter. Who can tell me what an inverter does?
Supply electricity.
It
takes DC and turns it into AC.
That's right. Takes DC, and you're going to say the same thing, weren't you? It takes DC, 12 volts DC, and it turns it into a modified sine wave, 110 to 120 volts AC. This is rated at 400 watts, which is a fairly decent amount of power, okay? It will run your television set off of your car. But basically, this takes, you can't store AC, you have to make it, but you can store DC in the battery. So, I'm going to clamp it on here, just like I would clamp it onto my car battery. Open my hood and clamp it on and turn it on. I am producing AC voltage. And I'll tell you the real advantage of these things. Come on up here, young man. Come on, up here. I need you to be my Christmas tree. Just hold this up towards the audience. Okay. That's a 110-watt bulb. It's my favorite because this is all the bulbs I'm going to show you. See these? Who can tell me what these are called? What's their trade name or what class? No.
Fluorescent,
but it's called a...
Energy saver?
No, it's called a compact fluorescent bulb. Okay? You seen these? In fact, you've seen these sometimes for $15 a piece, sometimes for $2 a piece. Okay, I got this one for $2 a piece. This puts out the light of a 60-watt bulb and it uses 15 watts of energy. In fact, this 60-watt equivalent for 15 watts is too big. You don't even want to use this in an emergency. It's too much energy. Okay, this is brighter than a Coleman lantern, most Coleman lanterns. Okay, this is enough light that I would use this to light up this entire area of this room. For your emergency supplies to run illumination, okay, you can do this. See that inverter? 400 watts. How much do you think it costs?
$20.
$28 at Sam's Club, okay? It could be 50 some other places, but I got this for 28 at Sam's Club. The thing is, I can get 50-watt inverters for $28. I can get 400-watt inverters for $28. Each one has their advantage. This is an awful lot of light for very little energy. This is using 3 watts. You know, any idea how much 3 watts is? It's a very small amount of energy. If I put an inverter on my car at night and it's a disaster and I want some light in the house, I can run, you know, 5-6 of these things and not ever have to worry about starting the car. I can run all night. I can have usable amounts of illumination. I have this right here. Do you have any doubt in your mind that you can do what we just did here with the tortilla maker and everything else? This is more than enough light. Especially when your eyes will dark adapt. You go through different levels of night vision. Here, hold this. You go through different levels of night vision. I'll chop it down. Your eyes get sensitive to light as you're deprived of light, and your vision becomes better. So this little 3 watts, you go, well, it doesn't light up nothing. Wait 5 minutes, you can see everything in the room very easily, okay? So if you're going to go get an inverter, the thing is, what does this inverter do? What can you now power with this inverter now that you've got everything? Like what? Your cell phone charger, right? What are you going to do when your cell phone runs out of energy and you don't have a 12-volt thing for your car? You can run your cell phone. You now have communications. You got a radio that runs off of 110 volts. You want to save the batteries. If you got an inverter, you can run it off of your car. Just put this thing in your car. Run the extension cord in the house. Run your small radios, your small...
Scanner.
Your scanner will run off of this. Your TV, this is a 400-watt inverter. How much power does a big TV, like a 20-inch or 25-inch TV draw generally? 110, 120, sometimes 200 watts, okay? Look, a car battery has a certain amount of energy in it. I won't go into all the ratings and numbers, but if you're running 15 watts off your car battery, you can run it 8, 10 hours, okay? And then go idle your car for a half hour in the morning, okay? Just idle your car for a half hour. You spent $30,000 for the thing. It'll sit there and idle forever. Why don't you use that as your generator to power the things in your house that you need? You don't need a refrigerator or freezer. You don't need a big generator. If you want to power a refrigerator or freezer, you need a big generator. If you're not going to use your refrigerator and freezer, you can use a small energy source. Why don't you use your car and $1.50 a gallon gasoline to run the things that became useless? Your cell phone, your scanner, your radio, your television. In a disaster, you're going to be craving information. And without energy, you're not going to have information or communications. Question, young lady.
How can that little thing light?
That light's on for safety. That can't go off. Okay. Well, let's plug in. I got a compact fluorescent bulb. It's a compact fluorescent. Anyways, I got a little extension cord here. Again, here's a nice extension cord. It's a bucket Big Lots. Okay? I love Big Lots. Look, this is more light than you need. Okay? This is a 15-watt giving you equivalent of 60 watts. And it gets even brighter as it warms up. Do you have any trouble? You've got a few other light sources in the room. You have any trouble seeing us? Okay.
No.
This is more than you need. You'd use this for part of an evening in a big room. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have smaller lights and be a little more conservative, you'd use this. These bulbs right here, the only place you're going to get them, unfortunately, is Costco, and they're on clearance right now. 5 of them for $4 a piece. They're chandelier compact fluorescents. If you're going out and buying some compact fluorescents for emergency lighting, try to stick with the 5, 7, and 9-watt bulbs. You don't. If all you can get is a 15 watts, okay, fine. It's better than nothing. But I prefer you to use 9 watts or less because you just don't need that amount. You don't need this amount of light, okay? And it just makes life easier for you when you're drawing energy up your car. Again, this is a whole class in itself, okay? I can show you things in a couple of hours, and you're going to be, if you like energy and like electricity, you're going to love it. You'll eat it up. The reason I think CERT members should have some of these $30 devices in their car is because there was a situation where the power was out in a certain couple blocks and a lady had to be taken to the hospital because her feeding machine was without power. You guys remember the story?
Yeah.
Okay. If one CERT member had one of these things, or, you know, the ones who like the stuff, who can handle it, okay, who have the mentality for it, we're all different. That's what makes CERT strong. We have a division of talent and division of labor. One CERT person can keep someone with emphysema, their oxygen machine going, and it can be the difference between them dying and them staying alive.
So you could hook that inverter up to your car battery and run a machine like that?
Yeah, yeah. You can run an extension cord in your house, and you can power it.
No, I mean, like if you were responding to an incident.
That's right.
So you pull the car up there, hook it up to your...
Run an extension cord, $6 for 100 feet.
Well, they might have it at the house.
Well, for $6, have your own 100 feet of extension cord with you.
What I'm saying is you hook up to the car battery.
That's right.
And you leave the car running.
If it's the high power drain, like a television or something, more than 100 watts.
I'm talking about something to keep alive. I'm not going to power her TV so she can.
Well, when I'm talking about higher power drain, you keep the car idling. If it's only a dozen watts, you can use the battery overnight. If you're going to power something larger, you got to keep the car idling. You got to keep the car idling because it's your energy source. Question?
I was just going to say, the power inverter that I have, right into the power.
That's right. Now, the cigarette, she asked about the power inverter plugging in the cigarette lighter. You can only go up to 150 watts through the cigarette lighter. If you want to go more than 150 watts, you've got to clamp it onto the batteries. The cigarette lighter can't transfer enough energy to the inverter to do more than 150 watts. I got some other smaller ones here. See, the 400 watt one you'd use the 400 watt one for running your 25-inch television, or bigger. You know, that's all some people got. But if you want to power it for an hour or two in the evening, that's good. You know, this is a 50-watt inverter. You'd use this for charging your cell phone and running the small lights. Why would you use the 50-watt inverter instead of the 400-watt inverter for smaller items? Hey, this was $20. This was $12 on sale. You can commonly find them for $20 or $25. Why would I use this little one if I had a 400? Less idle current, okay? This one, the bigger one, has a fan going and more electronics. This one just draws less energy if it's running a small load. Again, I'm not advocating you run out and buy these right now, but it's something for you to keep in mind, especially when you find them on sale. Sure. What's your question?
Does it run electricity?
Yeah, it runs off a battery, darling. It runs off your car or a battery. It takes 12 volts and turns. It takes 12 volts DC and turns it into 120 volts alternating current.
Okay.
Those lights above you run an alternating current. Okay, your car runs on direct current. Question?
It doesn't matter whether it's a cigarette lighter or 12 volts
out. Not if you're... No, it doesn't. Cigarette lighter, 12-volt power outlet. Just as long as you get 12 volts to it. That doesn't matter. In fact, there's... they got little adapters like this. It's a cigarette lighter, a socket on one end, and it's two clamps on the other end. You use this clamp onto your battery, and it gives you a cigarette lighter outlet. This is a good thing to have if you, as CERT members, we all are, the number one of the best tools we have is our cell phones, okay? With a CERT member and our cell phone, we can get a hold of dispatch, and we can have fire, police, anyone to any location in a couple minutes. We're trained as first responders to observe certain things, and to recognize things and to treat and to summon help. The number one thing we do is we bring help and then we treat if we have to. Your cell phone is your life link for that. You got to have a 12-volt cord for your cell phone. You must, okay? Because your battery will die after a certain period of time within the vehicle. You're not going to get the door prize. You're leaving.
No, I'll be back.
No, okay.
Well, as a CERT member responding to an incident, because like mine the last 3 days.
Well, but not on talk. And what if you're responding? Your battery, that will not talk for 3 days.
Yes, it does. I use it every day. Yes, Tim.
You cannot...
I am talking on this 8 hours a day, 3 days in one charge.
But it's not 72 hours.
Oh.
And plus, it might be near... Who knows, okay? It could be... You could have been on that thing for 2 days. You could have been busy, not had a chance to recharge it. And now, right now, you're called out. And you only have half a day worth of energy in it, okay? But you still need to have the 12-volt source. Your car is with you. It's a fabulous source of energy. The communications, the number one thing that we can do, we got to make sure our cell phones are going to work no matter where we are. So most of the times we're near a car, so we want to make sure the car is a source of energy for us, okay?
Just hope that you're not in a dead space, no matter how much it's charged.
That's right. But, you know, we're in a big city. We're in the third largest city in Michigan. There aren't really many cell dead spaces around here. Okay, so... So let that be a take-home message for you CERT people. Make sure you got all the adapters for your cell phone so it doesn't die on you. And I'm caught in my own cables here.
Now that matters, Captain.
Forget it. It's just 12 volts, okay? You're not going to find it. You're not going to get it. It's something special that I get that I send out with missionaries. I want you to get what you have available to you. If you want a battery pack, go buy a Marine battery at the store for $60, okay? It's the best battery pack you're going to get. Other than that, use your car as a battery pack. I don't want you to look at this battery pack and say, I want one, I should have one. You don't, okay? It's a specialized tool that I use. Okay? You don't spend money on these fancy batteries and stuff like this. These sealed and carry around. Go spend less money for more battery. Go get a Marine battery. Okay? The biggest Marine battery you can get is about $60 at Walmart. Get a charger for it. A Marine battery charger costs $30. That's a lot better than buying anything that you carry around with jumper cables on it. Go get a pair of jumper cables for $12. Some big long ones. If you really want a battery you carry around with jumper cables, go do this. You'll have a much better battery, much more energy, and you'll have a much better set of cables, and you'll be able to use it as a CERT member. We're all in CERT because we all have different talents and different things that we can do. If one of the talents you want to bring to CERT is the ability to have stored energy, jump vehicles, run lights, run feeding machines, okay, then that's what you should be doing, is getting that size battery. Okay, it's a very detailed subject that I just wanted to cover briefly. Is there, if you want to get technical, you got this running in your car, you put a voltmeter on it, I mean like a real voltmeter, get down to 11.5 volts, restart your car, and bring it up above 12 volts, okay? It's at least something I can tell you as an indication. The inverter will start squealing around 10.5 volts, saying I'm low on voltage. When you hear it squealing, get out and start your car pretty quickly, or you won't be able to start your car and recharge it. Okay, we're getting near the end of the presentation. I'll be going to Q&A. Now, what did I tell you about AA batteries and such?
Don't trust them.
Don't trust them. For what application did I tell you not to trust AA batteries and little cutesy little things? I told you not to trust them in what situation? Life and death, you got to run out and your emergency kit has got to work, okay? What I have here. I got a cutesy little light, right? Don't you ever have this thing in your CERT kit or your emergency kit. Okay? This is a dual LED and a fluorescent light, okay? I got another little cutesy little light right here. See this one? It comes on, it's an LED, it goes a long time, you clamp it on things. What's this good for?
Not book reading.
Damn good for book reading. If I had this thing, do you think I got to trip over anything in my house if I was walking around with this? Do you think I could I find my way around my house easily with this in the dark?
Yeah.
Very easily, okay? A lot of stuff, okay? This is more useful to you in many cases than your Maglite flashlight. You use a bright light for finding a lost child. For anything else you do, you want to use the minimal amount of light you can. This is called the necessary amount of light. This is all the amount of light that I need to do the task at hand. You can find anything in your entire house with this. You can make almost any meal with this. You can read any book with this. You can't go find a lost child with this. Can't even go find your lost dog with it. Your dog's black anyway. It's hard to see. Okay, if you got to go find something that's lost or it's an emergency, you got to see everything, you use a lot of light. Use a bright light. Use a mag light. Anything else, you use this little bit of light. You don't take this little light out with you in your kit, okay? You can't depend upon it because the energy source is itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, and it's rechargeable. See these little AAA rechargeables in here. They're nickel metal hydride. They'll die real quickly. But what did I just talk to you about? I talked to you about using your vehicle as a base of energy, didn't I? And using gasoline as your car as a cheap generator for making things that were useless useful again, right? The things we depend upon, which are communications and information, those all become useful again when you have such a small amount of energy. Even this will bring you out of 1800s technology back into the 21st century. Because this will give you the amount of energy you need, this little 50-watt inverter, to run your cell phone, run your scanner, run your radio, run a small TV, right? That's a lot better than having nothing. So if you got your vehicle there as a source of energy, this is just a little trick, okay? It's something I've developed and played around with a lot. This is a nickel metal hydride recharger. It happens to be the Rayovac. It recharges in 1 hour. This is what I send with missionaries around the world. Why do I do this? Because since it's a 1 hour charger, you can go up to a vehicle in the middle of nowhere. If they happen to have a vehicle, one comes by, they can go clamp on a pair of cables into the battery and recharge a set of batteries in 1 hour. These batteries will run that light. That little light that does everything but search for a lost child, it'll run that light for over 100 hours. So in 1 hour, for $30 and $10, they can run a $10 light for 100 hours. Now, if you're in the middle of nowhere helping people, and some of the medical people I help in Haiti and Ghana and travel the world, okay, helping people medically, don't you think 100 hours worth of light is a godsend? I mean, when it gets dark there, it's dark. There are no lights. People are they're poor. They have nothing. So with these little tools, these little tricks, these little principles of harvesting energy off of a larger source, a car, in 1 or 2 hours, and using this stored energy in the form of nickel metal hydride battery and a low power drain light to give you enough light to do everything but search for a lost child, this is a principle I want you to understand. It's what you need to have if you're going to do more than a month's worth of food storage. It's going to be difficult for you to store a year's worth of Duracell batteries. You keep your batteries for searching for lost children, and since you're going to be in your house and nothing really threatening, okay, you're not searching for something, then you can use these piddly little lights. Got it? Careful, some chargers out there take 16 hours. Well, if you got an inverter in your car all the time and sitting in your driveway running a few lights in your house, keeping things illuminated, you can recharge over 16 hours. But I prefer the quicker ones. Any questions on this? You understand on the little principle I'm trying to get to you? It's not for everyone, okay? I'm an electronic guru. But for those of you who can use this, I at least want to communicate this to you. It is a good principle that can help you over a long period of storage. This is a 9-watt light fluorescent. Another one I forgot to show you. 9 watts giving you about 50 watts of equivalent illumination. This is what I prefer for you to have over this. See these little lights, the 3-watt, the 9-watt I'm holding? Why are these better than this spiral one, even if this was lower wattage? What's good about these? Yeah, this is sensitive. This breaks easy. These have a plastic shell around them. See, the curly Q is in there. There's a plastic shell around it. So when it travels in your luggage and you're traveling the world, or you have children or over-anxious dogs, okay, it's got a high degree of resistance to it. Now, I just broke my shell, probably bringing it here. But it's a lot better than this. It does stand. It's not super durable, but it does stand up to a lot more breakage than a regular fluorescent or even a regular bulb will. Oh, I'm losing my breath. Okay. One of the most important things for all of us to have, there's an old Chinese curse of may you live in interesting times. We are going to live interesting times. We've had 3 emerging infections in 2 years. We've had $100 billion worth of economic and physical damage done to the continental United States by terrorists on 9/11. We've lost several thousand people. We have gone and invaded and conquered Afghanistan and Iraq and who knows what else. And there's people out there who literally, truly hate us. There are diseases out there that you have no concept of. There are diseases out there in vials, weaponized in hundreds of tons, that can make the continental United States no longer the United States of America, you and I know. So we are going to live in challenging times. The most important thing for us to all to have is faith. Not just faith in God, but faith in ourselves, faith in our friends, faith in our friends and neighbors. Faith that when the worst happens, it will bring out the best in all the people and in us, that your neighbors will become even closer to you and some of the best friends you've ever known. That's what happens in a crisis. That's what happens in a disaster. People come together. There are some bad elements out there that will challenge you, and they will have to be dealt with appropriately by the people who know how to do that or step up and take the responsibility to do so. So there are some riots. There are some people who will take advantage of the bad situation and try to hurt you. But overall, 99.9% of the people, this is going to bring out the best in us and the best in them. And we have a faith in ourselves, have faith in our friends and our neighbors, and that we're all going to make it through whatever difficulties we're going to have. Okay, with that, that's it. Thank you very much. I'm going to go into questions and answers. Here's what I didn't cover for you. If you remember anything, please remember the faith message. Somebody... People buy things and they hoard in the house. They don't tell anyone. I want you to show and tell people that what you're doing this and you think it's right and you want to help them. Have faith. If you take anything away from this, have faith in your friends and your neighbors. That's what will get us through this. Okay. That's why I want you to come to my house when there's a disaster, because I want your talents. Are you a nurse? Are you a carpenter? Are you good with children? Do you have any other talents? Are you just a strong back? Are you just a hard worker? We're all stronger, the more of us that are together, than we are independently. I have whole sections I could cover on medicines, stuff you didn't know, like Benadryl. What does Benadryl do? Benadryl is an anti-allergy medicine. It's an anti-shock medicine, an anti-irritant, an anti-itch. You can use it for sleep. It's a mild anti-nausea agent. Stops nasal drip from colds, a mild anti-cough, and a mild anti-anxiety drug, okay? I got a whole section of meds I can go through. In fact, Dr. Cut and I are doing a whole special thing on just medicine. I got a whole section on SARS. You can go and listen to about SARS on my website, stephenharris.net. I will tell you on there how SARS, monkeypox, and anything else gets to you. It only gets to you. What are the routes of infection into the body? Eyes, nose, mouth, open cuts, and one or two other mucous membranes you might have in your body. Those are the only routes for infection into the body principally, okay? If you can wear a mask, cover up, things are cut, and wear goggles, all these people running around China, you see them wearing masks and gloves and gowns in hospitals, what's missing? They're not wearing goggles. The eyes are a primary route for infection to the body. I touch something here, cold, flu, I go like this, I'm infected, okay? I talk about that in detail in the audio on the site. You can download it and listen to it. You'll stream it to you live. It's a good class. I have a whole thing I can do on weapons of mass destruction. Some of it is covered in the SARS. The SARS audio talks about protecting the family from weapons of mass destruction, chemical and biological. Basically, how do you survive a class 5 hurricane like Andrew barreling down on you? Same way you survive WMD. How do you survive a hurricane? No. No. Florida, they'll flood you out. The biggest thing with hurricanes is, the water comes in and flood you out. The tidal surge, 20 feet. How do you survive a hurricane with 200 mile per hour winds?
Go to Miami.
You be where it's not. Same thing with WMD. You be where it's not. That could be in a safe room in a house. That could be someplace else. You be where the disease is not. Being where it's not also means don't let it get to you, to your eyes, nose, mouth, okay? That's being where it's not. Once you get it, forget it. You're dead. Almost for most of the stuff. I got a whole section on cold weather. I got a whole section on food I can do. Some of you had some specific questions in different of these areas. What are some of the specific questions in these areas that you'd like me to answer before we dismiss and all go home? Safe room. Safe room and medication. Duct tape and plastic. Not a joke. One of the best things there is, okay? You be where it's not. You have a chemical release outside. Basically, chemicals are going to come to you and get to you through inhalation, ingestion, or through your skin. What you're doing is you're making it harder for those chemicals to get to you. You're sealing up your room. The way you seal the room is you seal the windows, any air conditioners, any vents. What else do you seal in a room? Where's the other primary entrance? Not just a door.
Baseboards.
You get two cards. I told you that. The baseboards where the carpet meets. Okay. You tape that up. What you're doing? It's not going to be 100% effective. You're just reducing the amount of contaminant that could possibly get to you. It might have to snake its way down the chimney, come through a hallway, and get to you. But by the time it does that, it's going to be even more diluted. Okay, for a biological or a chemical agent. That's what you do for safe rooms.
What about the toilet? Because I read a woman in Israel, she suffocated in her safe room.
That's stupid. I mean, boy, it was even more stupid than the media did. You know how the woman suffocated in her room?
The stove or something that she had done.
No kidding. She lit charcoal. Mm-hmm. She carbon monoxided herself to death. Go close the room and light charcoal.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be dead, okay? So don't light charcoal. Huh?
Was that what happened with the two cops?
Yeah. Well, they could have either CO'd themselves to death or CO2.
Yeah.
You can asphyxiate from you can poison yourself from carbon monoxide, or you can poison yourself from carbon dioxide, which is the byproduct of any hydrocarbon combustion. Yeah. So yeah, that could have happened to them through that way.
But with just people in the room, not a fuel source.
Oh, believe me, start getting stuffy, you'll be opening the door on your own, okay?
How many days would that...
Average person needs 5 gallons of air per minute. A cubic foot, 7.4 gallons. You need a little bit less than a cubic feet. We use 3 cubic feet per minute as standards in nuclear shelters. That's the minimum airflow we need because they remove body moisture and everything else. Oxygen point of view, you need 5 gallons a minute. You got 21% in the air, and you use 3% every time you breathe, so you can recycle that air a couple times. Trouble is you build up CO2. If I lock you in a bank vault, you don't die of oxygen deprivation, you die of carbon dioxide poisoning. You'll die of CO2 poisoning from your own breath before you die of oxygen deprivation.
Houston, we have a problem.
That's right. That's what they did in Apollo 13. They had to get the zeolite filters going because zeolite is an absorbent for carbon dioxide. They would have died of their own CO2 before they died of oxygen deprivation. So what they did was remove CO2 from the air, make sure that the oxygen is going to be the limiting factor in killing them. Medications. Ladies asking about medications and storing them, you're going to have to buy them. You're going to have to get a doctor to overwrite a prescription for you. You're going to have to go buy them. It's like if you take 2 a day, you're going to have them change your prescription to 4 a day and go buy them and put them away. Best place to store medications is the freezer. You freeze them, most medications, and it'll extend the shelf life dramatically. Most medicines are good well beyond their shelf date. There are exceptions. The doxycycline, tetracycline family of antibiotics become toxic to the kidney or livers after a certain period past their expiration date. There is an easily documented World Health Organization test to test for this to see if it has gone toxic or not, which you can do in your house. It's really pretty simple. Penicillin and other antibiotics just lose potency over time, and you slow that degradation by freezing them. So you're going to have to get more medicine. You can always go buy it. You can go to Canada and buy it. You can buy some of it off the internet. You can have the doctor write your prescription. You can go to the pharmacy and pay that long dollar for it. Costco has cheaper medication prices. If your life's dependent upon the medication, you must have it, like high blood pressure medication. Stop taking your high blood pressure medication or an alternative to it, pretty much you're going to die. So you got to get your medication. You got to talk to your doctor about it. If your doctor does not want to address the issues, the doctor says you're stupid, you're crazy, it's not going to happen, kick them in the ass and leave and go find one that will take care of your health. You being concerned about your health or anyone else over 1, 2, 3 months in disaster is a medical issue. The doctor damn well better address that medical issue with the same level of professionalism as if you come in with a broken arm. If you don't, you're dealing with a doctor who's not doing what he swore to do. Okay? But don't, you got to take care of it. It's very important. Any other questions? WMD, SARS, anything like that? Cold weather, food.
Would you consider doing a cold weather, like for our group?
Yeah.
Along the line?
Believe me, I can wear my stuff, which I didn't even pay $50 for, and I can stand out there in below zero weather doing traffic and be just fine. We, you know, these police officers seem to be a rite of passage saying, well, I was outside for 8 hours and it was a minus 30 wind chill and we froze our butts off. No need to. It's real easy not to freeze your butts off. Okay, we got a bunch of cards here. Door prize time. Everyone make sure they got their names on the cards. Throw the cards in here.
Here, like church. Collection.
I want the inverter.
I'm not telling you what the prize is yet. Any cards?
Where'd you get this one at?
You know? $30, Target or Walmart. Yeah, I like Big Lots the best. Let's have a fair and impartial person. Young lady, would you please reach your hand into the and pick out a card and see who is the next person who's going to vote for Kim. The next person is the first winner of door, behind door number one. Where's Lisa? You win. Oh, what did you win? Well, I am leaving for a tour of the West and the Southwest on a 1 month trip, 10,000 miles. You get to accompany me, you know, in my RV on the trip. Okay, no. Sure. What, you won. You won a week's worth of food. And you won one bona fide marathon emergency light with 2D cell batteries. This light will stay on for guess how long? 4 months. Two batteries in this thing will stay on for 4 months. So you have food for a week and light for 4 months. Congratulations.
Thank you
for coming. Make sure my other stuff isn't in here. Wait a minute. I got.
Yeah, I don't need tongs.
You don't. You don't get the tongs, the butter knife. Look through there real quickly and make sure. Okay, you're dismissed. Thank you for coming very much. Any volunteers who want to help me? Oh wait, speech. Civilian emergency response team needs you. Okay, we need capable volunteers to help us in time of emergency and non-emergency. You will get first aid training, CPR training, automatic electric defibrillation training, traffic, weapons of mass destruction, hazardous materials, and work with some of the best people you've ever met. If you'd like to sign up, we got the forms here. And I need someone to help me pack. Any other people with questions, feel free to come up and ask me. I need a volunteer to help me pack up and leave. Does that leave anything else in here?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Does anybody need a survey application? Because I got a bunch of them.
I'm leaving tomorrow or Saturday. So if you want the second part of your price,
you're right here.
I got some. You know what? It was a joy listening to you tonight.
Thank you.
You're always so serious and straight-faced. When we meet, I wonder, what is this going to be like? It was fascinating.
Well, thank you.
I'm
thank you.
Glad I got
thank
the
you for coming.
And I'd love all of those. But because we have so many power outages and I have a husband on Coumadin, I have a real hard time taking care of
it. Oh, you're Coumadin. Okay. You're going to have to address that medical issue.
Yeah.
You have to address it.
I just didn't know how. He takes around $900 to the office.
Sam. No, Sam, that's it. So that's fine. I expect a report on what. Oh, yeah, never mind. Make sure there's nothing else in there of mine, okay?
Okay, sir, I'll give it back.
You'll give it back. Why? You're not a cert member. I'm not going to see you again. You filled out the form.
No, she's.
Oh, exactly.
She wants a monitor.
No, I don't get paid for this.
This is wonderful. This is excellent. Was wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I would love to do the whole thing, especially the cold one with the cold
one. Thank you.
Oh, I do too. There's a lot of things in here that, you know, helps with CERTs.
It's not going to do the world a whole lot of good if CERT can't survive an emergency, right?
I don't know what we're doing.
The cops can't survive the emergency. The fire department people can't survive the emergency. They're going to be more worried about their own families after a certain period of time, and it's going to really hinder them.